Kick off your slippers. Don't go to bed. The party is just starting. You can sleep when you're dead. The Late Night Alternative with Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
03-444-991-1000. Nice and relaxed on a Friday. So the show's kind of, the last few weeks have been a relaxed Friday kind of vibe. How's your weekend looking? You doing anything exciting this weekend, Boyley?
Well, I'm still home alone tomorrow, and okay. I've got two parties at virtually the same time in two different locations.
Ooh,
so
I'm
going to be hairing around.
Okay, well,
at parties that I'm not invited to, by the way.
For kids,
yeah.
Well, it's someone who knows a lot about parties. It's Susan. Good evening, Susan.
Good evening, Ian. Good evening, Catherine.
Good evening, Catherine Susan. Had a question for you. Catherine, what was the question?
How was your day, Susan? And did you...
No, that wasn't your question.
No, I haven't been over there. No, it's been 5 days now.
Catherine wants to know if it's Friday night, if it's pork night.
No, it's not, because I've stayed away. I've told you.
Wonderful.
Okay. Yeah, good.
Okay, and how's that mind trick going? It's working, obviously.
Well, it is, but I haven't... No, it's okay, and I'm just getting... I just find it depressing. I'm trying to stay away. I am staying away, and I don't feel sexual to him anymore. I don't feel sexual to anybody. But I'm just hoping that I can keep it up. That's the thing, Catherine, you know?
Yeah.
It's going well so far. I want it to stay like this.
Yeah, so you know? Just stay away from the electricity box.
No, I haven't been there for ages. I haven't put a note in for ages.
Well, you're winning. Everything's progress, right?
You think?
Yeah.
I might put up a statistics chart on the back of the door and cross off every day that I managed to stay away, you know.
Yes.
But I've also hatched a plan, Catherine. Is Ian still there or has he fallen asleep?
He's here and he's listening intently.
Actually, I'm having a very intense, important conversation with another radio... Shut up! Be quiet! Talking! I'm having a very intense conversation with another radio... Shall we, please? I'm having a very intense and important conversation with another radio station.
Okay, all right. Okay. Well, I won't be a minute... Catherine, so I might put up a sort of chart and tick off every day that I managed to stay away. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it'll make me feel good. And you know, hopefully, I did stay away from him for 3 months at one point, and I just fell back into it. But no, I must think positive.
Yeah, don't think about 3 months. Don't think about a week.
No.
Just get through the day.
Yes. It's like an alcoholic, isn't it? They always say,
Cop-aholic.
Take one day at a time.
Hmm? Exactly.
Excuse me. It was never that bad.
Maybe you could give yourself a little treat at the end of...
Yeah.
You could give yourself a treat because...
I have a vibrator. Oh, well, I've got one of those. I'm not interested in it.
No, promise yourself a treat. I don't know, but
yeah.
Go and take yourself...
A little sweet.
Yes.
A little sweetie. Yeah. Clever girl.
Yeah.
I was thinking about...
Still waiting for the pictures to prove that you look like a cross between Sherry Lungi and a slim Kate Bush.
Oh, gosh, no, I can't send you that.
No. Nope.
One day I'll send you a photo when I'm feeling better.
No rush.
I'm a wee bit down at the moment. My feet are wringing wet. My shoes are wringing wet. I got caught in a massive downpour. I was in a filthy mood. My umbrella blew inside out. With dripping water all over the place.
That's what you got your shoes wet. Okay.
The rain got my shoes wet.
Okay. Well, I just wondered if... I just know that you're a very excitable woman.
So, well, what do you mean by that?
Well...
I can be excitable if I'm with... Oh, no, I'm not talking about that. I'm not talking about...
A picture of my fufu.
Yes. Or you will keep rubbing my face in it, won't you?
I can't... Yeah. Rubbing your face in your fufu? God, you're flexible. You're bendy.
Catherine.
Yes.
What, do you hate me?
Oh.
Catherine.
Yes.
I don't hate you, darling. Catherine, you said your teeth are tight together. I want to tell you something.
Go on.
Dental tape will get through the tiniest cracks, and I promise you, dental tape from Superdrug.
Dental tape?
Yeah, tape.
Well, speak clearly, then.
I can hear you.
I am speaking clearly.
No, you're not! You're speaking like someone who's horny.
P-A-P.
Pap.
P for Peter.
Pap.
E. Tap.
Pap. Pap. You said PAP. PAP is pap. Dental pap.
P for Thomas.
P for Thomas.
Oh, I'm not anymore because you're in another mood again.
You're an idiot.
But so are you.
I think there's a lot of tension between you and Ian. That's what I'm sensing.
Ian is just a fool.
And Susan...
on occasions.
Is on occasions, a bell cheese.
Yes, I was going to say, if I... Have you... Has it all got back to you, what I did this morning with my lovely hero, Mike?
Michael Graham?
I think he's... Yes, I think he's wonderful.
Terrible broadcaster. Awful,
he's my
awful human being. He's an he's terrible. He's one of the worst.
He's absolutely wonderful. He's clever. He's witty.
He's not. He's slow-witted. He's dumb. He's ignorant.
I hope he's not listening to you.
No. He doesn't have to turn a radio on.
Catherine, will you try the tape for me?
I will try the tape for you. Yes, thank you very much for the tip.
It'll go through tiny cracks. Now, Mike...
Something you know very little about.
Stop it!
Mike is very, very nice. I like his show. I love it.
Well, that's great news. Why don't you go and marry him? Oh, you can't because you're too busy having it off with the bloke two doors down!
I can't because Mike's already married, thank you. He's very happily married with a beautiful wife and beautiful children.
Yeah, because you don't now sound like a stalker, do you?
I'm not a stalker.
No, you don't sound like one.
I'm not a stalker.
You don't sound like one.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you kindly.
No, you're welcome,
you two
kindly.
Just kiss and get it over with, for God's sake.
Not until she's had a bath in disinfectant.
I've been to the clinic and I'm as clean as a whistle.
Yeah, okay.
I've been
a whistle
to the
that's
clinic.
Been blown many, 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 many,
no,
many times.
It hasn't, actually. No.
A rusty old policeman's whistle.
No, it's not, because I hadn't had sex for 8 years before him. Thank you very much indeed. Get your facts right first, boy.
Okay, I've got the facts right, miss, about your sexual history.
I haven't told you all of it. I'm not telling you all about... What about yours?
What do you want to know?
How big are you?
Oh, my God. See, I told you.
I'm 6'4".
No, how big are you in the manhood department? Tell us.
Oh, your voice went
big?
All... Your voice went all funny.
Is it big?
I have
is
a very, big? Very...
Nice.
Very...
Tiny penis. Really?
It's like a joss stick in a cathedral.
And you can what? It's... Stick it in a cathedral?
Yes, I stick it in a cathedral.
I don't get that at all.
No. You wouldn't feel it.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's no good.
No.
Is it?
No.
Catherine, that's no good, is it? We don't like small. Well, I suppose if you're in love with somebody, it doesn't matter, does it?
Okay. Well,
because love is a match of souls and minds.
Oh, souls are coming into it now, are they?
Souls, your soul and your mind, and the way your mind works and your soul. You know, the beauty within.
Yeah.
You know?
But also wrinkles.
The beauty within.
Also wrinkles sometimes.
What's wrinkles, darling?
You know what a wrinkle is.
She certainly does.
Oh, those. Oh, well, yes. I mean, if it's nice, it's even better, isn't it? But we can...
Okay. Well, it's been fun talking to you about dicks and fannies.
Just one other
but
thing.
This is...
You had a young lady last night, a very lovely young lady, who was wanting to meet a gentleman. She's got her three puppies.
Oh, yes.
And she sounded
Lucy.
Lovely.
Lucy, wasn't it?
Lucy, that's right. And... you forgot to tell her something very important.
Oh, go on. What was that, Susan?
You forgot to tell her about talkradiosingles.com, because I've heard it on the advertising jingle.
Come on now. Now you've given yourself away there.
No, yeah. I haven't done it. I haven't got a computer. Okay. I don't like computers, but Lucy may like it.
Okay. Well, thank you so much, Susan, for your input. and your output and your input and your output and your shake it all about.
The late night lip service for lovers, loners and lounge lizards.
Yeah, well, where exactly is your accent from?
The late night alternative with Ian Lee.
Oh, I've forgotten your name already, excuse me.
On Talk Radio.
Good evening, Nigel.
Oh, good evening, Ian. How are you?
You don't really care.
I do.
No, you don't.
Oh, blimey. I've just had Billy Stanley ring me up, call me on Facebook, asking me to sit ring in the show and sing a song.
Who's Billy? I don't know who Billy Stanley is. Oh, Billy, who called in earlier on.
He's one of my Facebook friends.
Oh, the guy that called in earlier on. Well, you do what you want to do. If you want to call in and sing a song.
I haven't had your show on. What have you been talking about this evening?
We have been talking about Facebook. We have been talking about Deadpool. We've been talking about a fake band.
The film Deadpool?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, it's a good film with Clint Eastwood.
A different Deadpool. But, yeah, point taken.
It's quite an old film, and it must be 30 years old.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, great film, isn't it?
I've not seen that one.
Haven't seen it?
No.
Oh, is there a new one they brought out?
There is a new one. There's like a comedy one, the comedy violence one.
Oh, I see.
Okay.
Yeah. I put Air Force One. You know the film with...
I remember watching Air Force One and thinking this is...
No, they made the film Air Force One with the airplane. It's a mock-up airplane, of course, the Harrison Ford one.
Oh, I remember that. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
With his daughter that's threatened to be killed in it and that. It's a great fit. He's a great actor, isn't he, Harrison Ford?
He's quite good. I would say he's a little bit wooden.
Yeah, but I think he'd put it over well as the president.
He's a little bit him in everything, isn't he?
Yeah.
You're always watching Harrison Ford as Harrison Ford.
Yeah.
I am. I love his film.
Oh, you're literally always watching Harrison Ford.
I rung you in because I was so depressed. I was going to call you anyway, not that other person, Billy. Hello, Billy, anyway. Hello, Billy. Nice for you to be my fan on Facebook. I felt very depressed about... I've done one good thing. I planted some two rose bushes in the dark earlier.
Is November a good time? I don't know. Is November a good time to plant rose bushes?
Well, they eventually come up when the weather's right, won't they?
Fingers crossed. I don't know anything about gardening. I would have assumed spring would be better, but what do I know?
But anyway, they should bloom. The buds are not blooming yet, so they should bloom when the weather's right. I've never planted before, but I did it quite well, actually.
Good for you. Well done.
Yeah, and it's two rose bushes in tribute to my mum. I did.
Did she like roses?
She did. She loved flowers, yeah. I'm going to get all the garden fixed as if she was here. So I'm going to have a nice big garden.
Beautiful.
She wouldn't want me to let the garden go anyway.
No, exactly. And it's very, it's good for your soul to garden.
I felt quite pleased after I did it, actually.
Good for you. There you go.
Well,
brilliant.
It's a very optimistic thing to do, Nigel. You're planning for the future, even if it's in a little in a small way, and you know things are going to be better when it starts to bloom.
Before I do my song, a cappella, of course, because it's rather late and I don't want to make too much noise. It's possible. Well, I will be on TV quite soon. I'm lucky, but I met someone today on one of my local TV stations.
Oh, fantastic. What's that going to be?
Yeah, they're coming. They're going to let me drum or sing. Probably the drumming, because I said I do tribute drumming to, like, Buddy Rich stuff.
Yep.
So I explained it all. I run the producer of the TV show. Is that KTM TV?
I don't know KTM, no.
Oh, cool.
Oh, we're losing TV. You, Nigel. We're losing you.
Yeah, the Kent Radio TV station.
Okay, all right. And, so, what have you got for us tonight, Nigel? You going to sing for us, or what?
They have music on your different guitars and things.
Oh, Nigel, you're breaking up, dude.
I'll change ears. Is that better?
It's not your ears that's doing it.
Hang on. Is that clear, huh? Hello?
Hello?
Is that better?
That's better, yes.
I'm by the window now.
Perfect. Are you going to sing for us, Nigel? What we got tonight?
We got awful storm tonight, didn't we?
Yep.
Outside.
I don't know.
I do. I'll do Nigel's Time for you then.
Here we go, beautiful. This is it.
Well, it's a short song anyway. I'll do a short version of it. Don't want to bore you.
Well, you said that 3 minutes ago.
I can get on TV, isn't it?
If getting on TV is important to you, then I guess so. Yes.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, and I want people to see me drumming live on, and maybe a song as well.
Okay.
Right. Okay. Tuning in, calling up, talking to the nation. Sing a song, melody for your adoration. Late night phone-ins, I'm keeping you awake. It's our time to shine. Up all night, it's entertainment time. It's our time to sing another line. Whoa, it's Nigel's time. Clouds are gone, sun is up, up on your horizon. Safe at home, back on the phone to my radio station. Late night phone-ins, I'm keeping you awake. It's our time to shine. Up all night, it's entertainment time.
Oh, God,
it's our time to sing another line.
Jesus.
Whoa, it's Nigel's. It's Nigel's time.
Thanks, Nigel!
The radio show that knows truth is always stranger than fiction.
Week Monday, I get shoes.
The Late Night Alternative with Ian Lee.
Because they're too real to be part of my imagination.
On Talk Radio.
This is what we'll do for the last half hour. There was this thing I saw online the other day, and I didn't read it in detail because I wanted the person who'd written it to come on. They were busy. There was podcast bingo, and it was cliches in podcasts, right?
Yeah.
So the two that I remember, and then we're going to do it for radio, right? The two I remember, and this is true of podcasts, is someone saying very early on, "Am I allowed to swear on this?" Is that?
Yeah.
And the other one was two white middle-aged blokes talking about pop culture.
Yes.
I'm making a podcast like that. So I was like, yeah. But I can't remember any of the others. But
I know one.
I thought we could do it. Let's do it for radio.
Okay.
Let's do it for radio shows. So this is radio show bingo, 0344. Don't bother tweeting it because I'm not looking at the tweets anymore. If you want to do it, you've got to call in, okay? 0344-499-1000. So we'll trade them off and see if anyone wants to join in. So first one is a caller phoning up and saying their name instead of the radio host. So I'll go, all right, hello, Steve. And they'll go, yeah, hello, Steve. No, hang on. Hello, Ian. You know that.
Yeah.
The caller saying their own name at the start of the call. Go on.
Here's one. First time caller, long time listener.
I love that. But that's become a thing now, hasn't it? People know that they're doing that, don't they?
I don't know whether they do.
Okay. Okay. As I said earlier to your researcher who answered the call. There we go.
That's one. That's a really good one.
I got a good one. I got 0344-499-1000 radio cliche bingo.
I know. So the presenter's just listening while the caller is talking, and the presenter is doing that respectful thing of not making a noise when they're listening, and the caller has to say, "Am I still on?"
Yeah, I'm listening. Okay, caller is talking about. Yeah, James has got a good one. Forgive me, I'm a bit nervous. Go gentle on me. Okay, I've got one. So the caller is talking about a supermarket. I don't know if I'm allowed to mention the name of the supermarket on here.
Yeah,
of course you are. Why would you tell Gemma she's welcome back on? But Warner.
Yeah. So that one that you just mentioned goes hand in hand with the other, whatever the name of the product are available.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh God, the presenters do that. I think they do it as a joke now, but it's just so tedious. Hang on a second, it's my go. Hang on a second. Let me try this. Sally, have you got any?
Oh, you just said it.
Oh, what did I say?
I was gonna say, yeah, can I mention the name of the supermarket?
Oh, that flipping. Okay. Well, okay. Have you got any others? Because I'm, there's got to be loads.
Hang on a minute. I can't think now.
Go on, Kath's got one. She's chomping at the bit.
Coming up to the top of the hour.
Yeah.
Who says top of the hour apart from radio presenters?
Yeah. My game ran out of steam quite quickly. I was thinking that would get us up. I was thinking that would get us up to 1 o'clock.
Sorry.
Do you know what? Here's the thing. Here's the thing. I'm wearing a new hoodie and I'm feeling cool. I've got a new Monkeys t-shirt. I'm feeling cool. But I'm really, really tired. Mm-hmm. Really tired. My eyes are a bit stingy from the tiredness. I'm really tired. And I had a good day today, Sally. I looked after myself today, Sally. I didn't get out of my bed. I woke up about 10. I didn't get up till about 11:15. I just lay in bed listening to the radio, ignoring the cat mewing at me. And I just lay in bed.
I had a very late day.
I had a little bit of coffee and I did some stuff and got through some chores. Then I had to pop out to the post office and pick up something and buy a pint of milk. And that was it. Came back. Great, great geeky daisy day. She's gone. Where's she gone? What are you doing? There we go. That's it. You're there. Sorry. We got an amateur working with us tonight. It's amateur hour here. We like to try out new talent.
I had a lazy day today. Got up at 1.
Oh, yes. So,
That's it,
man. Lovely.
Just checking if Sadiq's called me in the last 20 minutes. No, he hasn't.
Why don't you keep phoning him? Get on his nerves.
Because he's...
Because he loves it.
I block him when I don't want him to phone and when I don't mind him phoning. He's a nice lad. He's a nice lad. He's not abusive. He's not rude.
Yeah, same with Kadic.
Well, Kadic is abusive and rude.
He's not. He's all right. I'll probably get a phone call tomorrow about 7:45.
God.
Yeah, I know. And I'll probably miss that one, and then I'll get a few more, and then I'll eventually, you know, answer it. And he's fine, really.
No more dick pics?
No, none at all. Nothing. He asked me out once. He hasn't asked me out again. I'm waiting for that to come out again.
So if he asked you a second time, the chances are pretty high. It being a yes. That's lovely. No. That's lovely to hear, Sally. I'm congratulazioni to both of you. Well done. Good evening, Simon.
Good evening, Ian. Yes. Good evening, Kath.
Yes.
Hello.
Radio bingo.
Yeah, go on.
The caller who waits to hear the radio in the background and then gently talks to you.
Oh, yes, mate. That's a beautiful one.
And I know why you're depressed as well today.
Yeah, go on.
It's because Nick Knowles wasn't on your year if I'm a celebrity. He's on this year's.
Apparently he's flying out there as we speak.
What have you missed out on there?
Oh, man alive.
Sung a duet.
Could have sung a duet with Nicky Knowles. Yes, Barney.
Hello.
Hello, Barney.
Yeah, the thing I was thinking of, and I'd actually think of ringing up about it last week, actually, was people saying it's morning. Like, oh, no, now it's technically morning. Oh, good evening. Oh, no, now I suppose it's technically morning, isn't it? It's 12 o'clock or 1 o'clock.
Oh, yeah, I hate that.
It's the middle of the night.
It's nighttime.
Do you have windows? Do you know what the sun is? Because it's, like, totally dark.
Well, it's got a little bit of a weird vibe towards there, but I think you're absolutely right. Also, it's not morning until you've had a sleep.
Well, until the sun's there, whether you've slept or not.
Well, I mean, technically it's morning, it's nighttime.
Yeah, it's night time, not morning.
No, but technically it's morning.
No, it's definitely night time.
Well, no. Well, listen, I agree with you, it's night time.
But technically?
It's night time.
Technically, legally, it's morning.
Well...
Legally, in a court of law, it's morning. Would you agree, Barney, that in a court of law, if I were to murder you now... The police officer would say...
Thanks.
The police officer would say, the murder took place at 12:38 in the a.m. on the morning of Saturday, the 10th of November. Yes?
I don't know. I don't
yes,
know.
Yes, 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 he would!
No, well...
Yes!
Do you actually know that for sure?
Yes, because I murdered someone.
No, but they would say that.
Of course they would say that. What they're going to say... Okay, so they're going to say, the murder took place at 12:38 on the evening of Friday, November the 9th.
Well, they would say night. It's not the evening, is it? It's in the middle of
the night. Okay, so the night of Friday, November the 9th.
Well, hopefully they would, yeah.
Yeah, but it's not Friday, November the 9th. It's Saturday, November
the
10th.
Saturday, whatever the right day is.
Yeah, well, so it's the morning. You can't start a day with night. You have to start a day with morning.
Well...
Yeah?
Sorry, what's that sound? What's that sound? Oh, wow! Oh, my God, look, Ian, look, It's a famous Martin. It's Aston Martin. Oh my days!
Oh, grief! Wow! He did the old switcheroo. Gosh!
I've got no idea what just happened.
I pity the fool who tries to argue with him about anything.
Experience the unconventional.
Hello.
The unpredictable.
Don't you think that's a bit weird?
And the completely unorthodox.
It was my birthday.
With rule-free Ian Lee.
I was just trying to generate a bit of content.
The late night alternative with Ian Lee.
Hate alarm clock. Hate going to work.
On Talk Radio.
Very least you could stand up naked and grin. What a line. It was celebratory tonight. That is one of the best songs you've probably never heard. XTC, Wrapped in Grey. It's as good, if not better, than Hey Jude. And do you know what? It was a flop. Virgin withdrew the single. Mr. Partridge thought this is going to be it. This is the one that's going to make us big stars all around the world. Virgin withdrew the single. So XTC did what any band would do in that situation. They went on strike. Didn't make another album for years. What a song, man! Dear God! Twitter was full of A-holes and B-holes and C-holes this weekend. Horrible, horrible, horrible place. Horrible. Really mean. Nasty. Hurtful. Unpleasant.
It's full of people kind of joining Twitter on the day, that moment, just to start stirring it.
That's
our mate.
That's nut job. And people, it was just horrible. Really, really unpleasant, really dark. And I just thought tonight, let's just look into the light. Forget the darkness. Even if, you know, and I'm kind of faking it a bit. I'm all right at the moment, but I'm faking it a bit. Sometimes you've got to fake it to make it.
I was thrown up all weekend, but I'm not now. Thumbs up, everyone.
I wonder if there's anybody, if you can think of it, then someone gets turned on by it, right? Mm-hmm. So someone that can only have sex if their partner is throwing up.
Oh, my God.
If you can think of it, Sam's there nodding. If you can, he's looking disgusted. If you can think of it, then someone gets turned on by it. That's a simple thing, right?
I think there is a throwing up kink, isn't there?
There has to be.
Yeah.
And it can go two ways. The partner has to throw up or you have to throw up whilst engaging. God. There will be. There will be. 0344 499 1000. Switchboard's empty. So you want to give us a call, now is a really, really good time. You can talk about anything you want, by the way. Absolutely anything. We've got more stuff to talk about. The Japanese hologram wedding. Did you see that?
Oh, yeah, I did see that.
Oh, we'll do that in a minute. And also, I'm thinking. Listen, I'm putting on a lot of weight and I'm feeling bloated and I'm aware that I'm actually not really doing that much.
Well, I think you've lost weight.
Well, okay, but you're wrong, because I was watching myself on Twitch the other night and I got big titties. I got big old titties. So I need a bra for those things.
You can shake those moneymakers.
By the way, tomorrow lunchtime, 1 o'clock, more Jackbox. Have you played the Jackbox party games? Playing it last night on Twitch had almost 100 people watching, which is great for me. Although it's an interactive game where I stream this game on my PlayStation and you can play at home on your phones and on your tablets. Right? It's great. You got 8 people playing. But then there was one guy who came from Limmy's page, and you can write answers or draw things. And everything he drew or wrote was, Ian is a pedo. I was like, okay, mate, right, fine. Limmy's Twitch page last night was very dark. He unmodded everyone, which is fine. I was a mod, and he got rid of me. That's fine. But as soon as that, then lawlessness ruled, and there were 800 people, right? And this will sound funny to you. Okay, that's fine. I don't mind you laughing. It's funny. I guess it's funny, right? But it wasn't funny at the time. I was thinking, this is a bit... I wasn't even that put out by it. I just thought it was a bit Jeff, right? Like, 800 people, and a significant number of them were calling me a C and a nonce. And I was just there going, well, this isn't fun. It didn't upset me. I wasn't, you know, cutting myself and crying. Oh, my God. I just thought, well, this isn't fun. This isn't fun. And Lemmy was on top form, you know, and he was laying into me and laying into all the other mods. But the followers just not getting what makes his verbal attacks mm-hmm. so clever, right?
He doesn't mean them.
No, he wasn't calling me a Nazi. He's probably calling me a C, but he bandies that word around quite a lot, which they do in Glasgow. And he delivers it in a really delicious way. But a lot of the people on there were just thick, like a lot of the listeners here, I think. Not all of you, but, you know, there's a couple that don't get
it. A lot of people on Twitter enjoy yeah. pile on, don't they?
And I just thought, this isn't fun. So I went to my channel and started playing these Jackbox games, right, which are great. But then one of the Lemmy people came over and just going, you're a pedo. Okay. The thing is, it was all with my people. So my people are, like, just going, oh, God. You know, they weren't even getting angry. It's going, oh, God, there's always one. And it was, yeah. I didn't get it. Anyway, so if you go to twitch.tv/IanLee, we were up late last night playing Jackbox. So it's all like silly part. There's a quiz. There's a drawing game. There's a rap battle where you write a rap and then robots battle against each other. It's funny. Filthy. NSFW, guys. NSFW. Not safe for Workingtons. Filthy. And I'm thinking maybe I'll make that a semi-regular kind of lunchtime kind of thing. So tomorrow, probably around about 1 o'clock, come to my twitch.tv/IanLee. We'll play some games. And it's the people are very good that if they play a game, they're kind of quite happy to sit out the next one so that more people can come. Everyone seems to get a go.
Maybe I can play this time.
Well, you were playing, but without watching the Twitch videos.
Yeah. Which is kind of pointless.
Well, but, yeah, no. Well, you came last.
I didn't.
You still beat some people. You still beat some people. But it's fun, man. It's fun and it's stupid. And there was a lot of laughter. So we will do some more of that. We'll do that story in a second. I've just got a phone quiz. So let's go to this first. Good evening, Simon.
Hello, Ian.
Hello, Simon.
Hello, Kath.
Hello.
Oh, I've not heard that voice before. Who's that?
Hello.
Oh, that's old school children's TV presenter. Yes.
Hello, everyone.
Which window should we look through today?
Triangle.
Triangle. What you got for us, Si?
A couple of things, just boring stuff, really. Oh. I was looking on YouTube, and because I saw a news story about this game, Red Dead Redemption 2.
Oh, yeah.
About suffragettes and beating up suffragettes and things like that.
Right.
Well, I checked it out on YouTube. I cannot believe the quality of the graphics.
Sorry, Grandad.
So, hang on. You are shocked. That, and I find Red Dead Redemption, I've got to say, boring as hell. But you read a story that the suffragette gets beaten up in it. So, outraged, you went online to try and find that scene. And then you're going, look at the graphics. Isn't it good?
She got eaten by an alligator. But, yeah, I was just blown away, really.
Well, I don't know how to respond to that. Yeah, well, the graphics are great. Really, really good pixel rate.
What's that on, PS4?
Yes, Grandad. And the Xbox.
Oh, okay. Is there much of a difference in quality between the two?
I don't know. No, they're both really, really good.
Still not as good as Horace Goes Skiing, eh?
Thank you very much for your call, Simon. Thank you to Sally, who sent us this from Vice magazine. Can I read you this? Scouring the streets for vomit may seem like an odd hobby.
Oh, God.
But for some emetophiles, vomit fetishists, it's as much a part of their sexual repertoire as lube. Like any fetish. Don't worry, guys. I'm not going to get too graphic in this. We'll go as far as we can. And when it gets to that point, we'll stop. Like any fetish, it has varying degrees of extremities, with some people reporting getting turned on just by seeing videos of people vomiting, while others on the more extreme end might self-induce their sick or ask a partner to for them. There aren't any known stats on how many people share this kink, and the only major study into it seems to be the one conducted by a professor of psychiatry, Robert Stoller, in 1982. So how do you navigate life when puke gets you off? I spoke to Ho, a 27-year-old from Hong Kong, to find out why he's more interested in your vomit than what's underneath your clothes. Okay. When did you discover that vomit was appealing to you? when I was 11. I couldn't stop replaying all the times I vomited when I was a kid. Boom. And, of course, that's what it goes back to. A lot of the sexual attractions are kids. Spanking is if you got told off by a teacher or your mum and they slapped you. And so you kind of might have got aroused by that. So that does that. Shoes are quite often to do with your mum's shoes and you're feeling turned on and you're seeing your mum's shoes. Pretty much every sexual kink pretty much can be traced back to a childhood trauma.
Right, yeah, I was going to say, it's something you got in trouble for or were made to feel ashamed of.
Shame is a big one. You might have got the slipper at school or the cane. And that's why getting caned, as in with a cane on your bare body, is a particularly British fetish.
Yeah.
You don't get caning so much in America or any other parts of the world. That's quite often, if you meet, you'll see America, if you see an American escort or something talking about British, I'll smack your bare body. Yeah. It's a very British thing.
Well, and having spoken to a dom, what was it? It was while you were off.
I spoke to
a dom, and she said that it's, you know, a lot of high powered kind of public school boy type blokes.
The spanking is,
Who really like being late, you know, made to feel lower.
Yeah. And a lot of the sub dom things go back to school or a very strict parent that would tell them off or make them sit in their chair until they finish their meal.
She said it's like men who have very stressful lives, stressful, responsible jobs, quite like to be the one that's on the bottom of the pecking order for him.
So this suddenly isn't such a weird thing after all. So I was 11. I couldn't stop replaying all the times I vomited when I was a kid. It was like an addiction. The first time I realised I was aroused was when I watched the vomit scene in the documentary Super Size Me in 2005.
God.
But my emetophilia didn't intensify until... It didn't intensify until I successfully caught a man's vomit in 2011. It's strange because I hated the disgusting smell and taste of vomit as a child. There is nothing better in the world than the feeling about 15 seconds after you've vomited. That relief. The headache goes... Because I get really bad headaches when I vomit. And I know exactly when I'm going to vomit because my tongue starts sweating. As soon as my tongue starts sweating, I know I've got 12 seconds to get to the toilet. It's incredible. But that stomach ache and the headache, 10 seconds, 15 seconds after the vomit, they go. Now, they might come back again if you're having like a whole night of it. But if that's it, the relief.
Yeah, the relief. Oh. This weekend, I just felt like I couldn't...
Were you throwing up?
Yeah.
Actually throwing up?
And I couldn't lie down because I felt like it was making it worse. Yeah. I was sitting up, felt like I was scrunching my... You know, it was just so uncomfortable. And then you think, right, okay, hopefully this one's the last one. Well, off again.
When you feel that... Did you get the relief for a bit? Then when you feel that stomach ache coming back, you think, oh, God,
no,
I've
there
got
can't
another
be any
one
more.
Coming. I've got another one.
Yeah, rubbish. It was awful.
What is it about vomit that turns you on? The appearance. My favourite type is natural, caused by too much alcohol or illness. Vomit from food poisoning is great, but I won't beg for it.
Oh, my.
I'm skipping some bits here. Can you get aroused by your own, or does it have to be someone else's? I can be turned on my own, but I really hate the feeling of vomiting. I'm mainly turned on... This is fascinating. This is fascinating. This is gross, but it's fascinating. I don't know if this guy's gay or straight. I'm mainly turned on by men's vomit. I'm more into vomit from straight guys or men who are dads. But it's very hard to find a straight man or a father to vomit for me. It's much easier to find a gay guy that isn't a dad to vomit for me. If I see someone doing it in public, it doesn't have to be someone I fancy. But as long as it's a guy... Do you worry about revealing your kink to partners? It does make me feel dirty and a creep. I don't worry about telling partners. Only if I think they're the right person would I choose to reveal it. I'm bisexual and my boyfriend, as well as my ex-girlfriend, knew about it. They accepted it and luckily it had no significant impact. It's not a deal breaker. I've dated people who aren't into it and some haven't even known about it. Skip that bit. Is it an active part of your sex life or a fantasy? I haven't actually had full sex with my ex-girlfriend or my boyfriend. We just masturbate with each other. I have asked my boyfriend to vomit, but it isn't something I force him to do. He has done it sometimes, and then I masturbate with him. Okay, and it goes on and on. I think it's probably as graphic as we need to get. Isn't it fascinating? Isn't it fascinating?
Yeah.
Absolutely fascinating. Well, we're celebrating, I suppose. It's a celebration. We're celebrating the fact that the world is a strange place and all of us have different little kinks and things that get us going. Andrew will come to you in a second. Catherine's got a great story that we're trying to get a guest on for later in the week. And I'd never heard of this thing before, but you knew loads about it.
Well, I knew the term from working with Katie Puckerick.
0344 499 1000. Just tell us what the term is and then we'll go to the ads.
Yoni.
Yoni.
The Late Night Alternative with Ian Lee. Unfiltered night talk with the original king of unconventional conversation on Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
Well, Jojo, I can say that because she's tweeted, it's a public forum. She went out with a guy who was a metaphile. I dated one. He was considerably younger than I. Me, you should have said me there.
Mm-hmm.
And had some choking related issues, but vomit, specifically mine, was a big turn on. Here's the thing, right? How did he? I was going to say something, and then realised I was going to say something that was funny, but I didn't mean to. How did he bring it up? Is what I was going to say. What was the conversation, right? Because, you know, a lot of relationships break down because one person is too nervous to say the thing that really turns them on, in case the other one goes, what? Gets, you know, even if it's just like a little bit, like a little bit of spanking or something, they might be scared to. I've been frightened in the past to say to partners, do you know what? I quite like it if you do this and put a finger there. And do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, and you should. As I've got older, I kind of think, God, I wish I'd had the confidence in my 20s to say what really worked for me, because life would have been so much easier. And the person could either go, do you know what? I'm not into that. Or, well, I'll give that a go. It sounds like fun. And as I've got older, I kind of more relaxed with it. But something as extreme as that, how does the conversation... Jojo, if you want to give us a call, you'd be very welcome. And I understand that you're a shy caller. And you're a shy caller, so asking you to call in about something like that would probably be quite tricky. So you can carry on tweeting us if you don't mind. Or you can send me an email. You've got my email address, ian@ianlee.com. How does the person go, look, you know, I think we're having great sex. I'm loving the sex. But do you know what would make it...
I'm loving the sex. Thanks for the sex, everyone.
So the sex is so nice. What would make it better is... I'm just going to say, is if you throw up for me while we're doing it.
Oh, my God.
While I'm humping you, if you could make yourself vomit. On me.
That reminds me of the... have you got to the bit in the Adam Sandler special where he says, oh, me and my wife, we have a great time in the sack. We do it every which way and we're quite experimental and we have a safe word. And the safe word is, really?
I love the way you kind of... didn't quite commit to the American accent, so it went back and it went forth there, and it was sometimes it was you. And
yeah,
it was,
I know.
You should go for it.
Yeah.
You do a great American accent.
What? What are you talking about?
There we go. give us an Al Pacino.
Hoo-ha!
Jojo, if you want to give us a call, you're very welcome, but I know how... Oh, here we go. Someone's listening to the show. I've just had a Google alert. I've got my name on Google alerts.
Uh-huh. Oh, God, that's a really bad idea.
No, it's nice. Well, it is, because there was a guy called Ian Lee who was murdered recently. Or he might have murdered someone, I don't know. Someone from The Sun is listening.
Oh, good.
My time is over. Maybe it's from Twitter. My time is over. Ian Lee admits he's dreading the return of I'm a Celebrity because he feels jealous and left out after finishing third last year. The comedian and TV star... neither of those things.
Hey, but at least I'm not calling you sad comic.
Tragic comic. Was having a candid moment on Twitter ahead of the 2018 return of I'm a Celeb. Comedian Ian Lee has opened up the 45-year-old funny man.
Who he?
Was a contestant on the 2017 series of the long-running ITV reality show where he finished third. Ian had a difficult time on the show, with many viewers feeling he was bullied by some of the other cast members. Reflecting on his time, Ian says he has mixed feelings about the show returning to screens next week. I don't have mixed feelings. I'm dreading it. The feelings are very unmixed. I'm also dreading I'm a Celeb starting up, he began. I'm making the statement on Twitter after revealing he is dreading Christmas. Oh, God. Really hard to explain, but the essence is jealousy, a feeling of being left out and a sense that my time is over and I return to being a nobody again, he continued.
Away we go.
Having nightmares and knots in my stomach about it, he added. His moment of honesty provoked a flood of reassuring messages from fans, with many assuring he is not a nobody. However, his comments also drew the attention of less friendly quarters of the Twitterverse, with some lashing out at him for regarding the public as nobodies. That's literally not what I was saying, the star responded as some began to round on him. Mm-hmm.
Oh, God.
Alas, the TV star, alas. I'll come to you in a minute, Andrew, sorry. Alas. Alas, the TV star felt forced to defend himself. FFS! Do I really have to make it clear I was not referring to people who hadn't been on the show as nobody, he stressed. Oh, well done, Sam, for quoting this. I was referring to the eternal emptiness and spiralling depression that is my soul as my life seemingly falls apart, Meccano bit by Meccano bit, he added.
Okay, so we now know that it's that time of the year where we've got to just be very careful about what we put on
Twitter.
Yeah.
However, fans advise Ian to take no notice of the haters. I'm a Celeb is starting soon. Okay, great, fine. Well, there you go.
There's a little reminder of what you could have won.
Andrew!
Hello.
Hello, Andrew!
Oh, my line dropped. I'm glad you changed subject, because all that talk about sick, really, that's bringing back up my lunch I've just had. It's horrible.
Well, you get the taste of it for the price of one. It's a bonus.
It's coming back.
Oh, nice. Here's the thing. When was the last time I threw up, Catherine? When was the last... Do you know? I would have told you about it.
God, yeah, probably in great detail.
I've not thrown up in the new house.
Haven't you?
No. Oh, I know the last time I threw up.
Yeah.
So I threw up a lot. I was throwing up black. Anyway.
Back in the dark days.
Back in the dark old days, Andrew. I was throwing up. I was throwing up thousands of pounds worth of throw up. Anyway. We're being silly. Go on. We're back. We're walking away from the sick. We're walking away from the sick. You mentioned it this time.
What have you got? Oh, by the way, I was really thrilled the other day when my daughter used the word chunder. I said, oh, where'd you get that from, Shrek? You.
Good for her. Andrew, yes, please.
So, a celebratory show.
Yes.
I came over, I've been over to the last couple of rabbit shows. So I did the Rabbit Hole in Brighton and the Film Club in London last month.
Oh, and yeah, hello, Andrew. How are you? I remember.
It's Las Vegas, right, Andrew.
Yeah, Las Vegas, Andrew. This guy's right. Insane. Yeah.
I know, nuts. And I'm not going to be able to make it back for this next one, but in the spirit of celebratory...
Plastic fan.
I know, I'm sorry.
I'm teasing.
And I reckon there's quite a few guys or girls out there like me that listen to your show and would probably really want to go, but they want to go on their own, probably feel a bit weird about it and so on. And I thought, what if, consider like a sponsorship or a scholarship, if I'm not going to be able to make it, if I buy two tickets for... two singles, if you like, and donate them to people like me, sad singletons who want to turn up but don't know if they're going to fit in. But, you know, it's the best time. You know, when I was there in Brighton, I ended up sitting next to those three crazy drunk women who were lovely, actually mad as hatters.
Weren't they
bonkers? I know.
And, could have gone either way then, with those delightful women. And it went one way. They were
absolutely
lovely.
Absolutely brilliant. They were. And then the last one in London, I ended up sitting next to, I think it was James, really nice chap.
Yep.
And I think the thing that I think people need to know is when you go to these things, they're celebratory, they're fun, they're friendly. You know, there's no awkwardness if you turn up on your own. It's just brilliant.
Experience the unconventional.
Evening, boss.
The unpredictable.
What's happening?
And the completely unorthodox.
Exactly.
With rule-free Ian Lee.
The Late Night Alternative with Ian Lee.
I've got no internet for the last 4 days.
On Talk Radio.
344-499-1000. The Late Night Alternative with Ian Lee and Catherine Boyle. You can listen on DAB, download the app, or go to talkradio.co.uk. Oh, and if you're listening online or via the app, because you can't get us on DAB, well, they've put up some new transmitters, I believe is the technical term. So there is a strong chance you might be able to get us where once you could not. So if you go to your DAB, if you do a deep tune, a deep auto tune, a deep retune, it's going to be deep. Don't just do the casual tune. You can do a casual tune and you can do a deep tune. If you do that, then there's a strong chance that Talk Radio might pop up on your actual radio. So I can't remember how we came onto yonis the other day.
Well, we were talking about different terms for your little flower.
Okay, your Wang Chung.
Whatever you want to call it. Well, there's so many different words
your
for
penny.
It.
Your penny chew.
Tuppence.
Yeah, tuppence, that was it, not penny chew.
Your lady garden.
Yes.
And I told you that when Katie Puckrick was here, she taught me a term which is called a yoni.
Okay, I'd never heard of
this. Sanskrit for sacred space.
Okay, right. Yeah. Is that like those places where you can go and sit down and chill out? Like a chill out room?
If you want to think of it that way, that's okay. A very nice way to think of it.
And Julia Hartley Brewer went forced her way into one once and it caused great upset.
No, that was a different thing.
Okay.
It's a completely different thing.
Okay. Yep.
Anyway, so we were talking about this term, and in order to try to explain it to you, I Googled it, and then we fell down this yoni rabbit hole, didn't we?
Wow.
And apparently, you can have a yoni or lingam massage, right? A lingam is the
penis.
Term for the male member, yeah, and the yoni is the female. And so I ended up in this sort of Google thing.
Well, I've heard of Google.
A Google whirlwind.
Yeah. Okay.
And discovered our next guest, actually,
okay.
And who I thought was probably better placed to be able to tell us exactly what's going on.
Well, let's say hello to Alexei Kuzmin. Good evening, Alexei.
Hi there. Good evening.
How you doing? You're right.
I'm good, yeah.
So tell me about this. This is completely new to me, man. And this whole thing, well, of course it's fascinating. So yoni... Tantric massage.
Mm.
What is it?
Yoni tantric massage. Well, I would say that they are two kind of different things. I mean, a tantric massage is something that I would call as a full body, a sexual body work. Whereas the yoni is what I would say is the part of the tantric massage where you would focus directly on the vagina. So the purpose of doing a tantric massage for women would be to create a different kind of sexual experience in a guided and supportive environment where you would either have some kind of effect for healing, for development, for learning something, and the yoni massage is a specific part of it.
Okay, well, so what exactly are you, Alexa? You are a tantric practitioner? I'm going to get some of these terms wrong, so please do feel free to correct me. Are you a tantric practitioner?
Well, I mean, the way I normally introduce myself is that I am a sex coach and a sex therapist. So I try not to kind of put it into the box of tantric necessarily.
Okay. Broader than tantric.
But I do, you know, I do teach people an alternative approach to sexuality, which has come mainly from the tantric and Taoist sources and all the sources that I could find that are alternative. So I would say that, you know, I attempt to teach people the tantric approach to sex. But the purpose is just to teach them about sex. Yeah.
What is tantric? Because most people will only know about tantric sex from Sting and his wife Trudy, and they think it means you don't come for hours. Now, I'm guessing it's probably slightly more than just that.
Yeah, I mean, there's no need to go for hours.
Who wants to go for hours, man? Like, I'm a busy man. I've got time to go for hours.
It's actually about, you know, how do you make it fit into your life? How do you make it kind of short but really, really good? Yeah. Essentially, a tantric has become a bit of a catch-all term, really, for all the different approaches that is basically something beyond just your typical mainstream approach to sex, which is just about some physical stimulation and release and maybe some fun. So something that's directed more towards a deeper connection, perhaps, something more...
intimacy.
Well-being. Yeah, intimacy, love, definitely. Something more conscious, something more to do with well-being, with a holistic approach to sex.
Yeah.
So I would say that, you know, it's not necessarily that you are teaching a specific, some kind of exotic technique from a different culture, but it's just a deeper way of having sex, probably would be the better way to explain that.
And I've got so many questions. Thank you. And if I ask anything that you don't want to answer, just tell me to jog on, Alexei, and it's all cool. Because we've been kind of talking about sex quite a bit on this show.
Yeah,
And we've been smirking and sniggering because we're British, and that's kind of what British... kind of what British people do. So I was wondering, who was it who are the kind of people that get in touch with you, and what do they come to you for? What are they hoping to get from their time with you?
Yeah. Well, I think a lot of people actually feel that they don't really feel that what they're experiencing is, I wouldn't say enough, but that's what it should be.
Yeah.
So a lot of people that come to me, they come from a place of already having some kind of a difficulty, some kind of a problem, the whole range, really. So I work with lots of different issues. But it's not necessarily just that. A lot of people just have a feeling that, look, you know, we are doing what is supposed to be good sex, which is what, you know, the culture tells us is good sex. We are doing it by the book, so to speak. But it still feels like something about it feels quite superficial. Perhaps, you know, doesn't really fulfill our needs that we feel in ourselves and in our relationship. And we would just like to learn how to make it a richer, a better experience and something that feels like more like a relationship. So I also work a lot with people who come from that place. And I would say that I generally don't really work with people. I don't tend to get a lot of clients who are necessarily coming from some kind of a place of being really interested in tantra, right, or exotic places like topics like that. They're mainly just people who want to improve what they feel in sex and in quite a straightforward way, really, yeah.
Alexei, so, we talked a lot about how prevalent and how influential porn is now. You know, now people can get it on their phones, you know, you don't have to pay for it anymore, it's widely available. Do you find that is causing problems, in that people have different expectations? Maybe they feel intimidated because what they're doing isn't what they're seeing, all that sort of stuff.
Yes, I do. I think it's essentially has become the only sexual education that people get these days, and obviously especially if you're talking about a younger generation that has never really known anything different. So yes, I do. Especially in the recent years, I've been working with that next generation, and things seem to be quite affected by it. I mean, essentially, it is a completely unrealistic way of having sex, specifically how women are depicted. Women don't work that way at all. So, you know, they don't work about physically or psychologically or emotionally. It almost, now there is a kind of, there's a feedback loop almost, in that because so many people have been influenced by porn now, almost the mainstream, the sex that people have is pretty much porn sex. And then there is almost a feeling that that's what sex is, because now so many people are doing it, you know.
Oh, Alexei, as a dad of two young boys, I mean, they are very young, they're just approaching 9 and 7, but I am terrified of the impact that in a short time, I suspect, when they start seeing hardcore porn on their phones or on their friends. You can't keep it away from them. And I just hope that I have an honest and open enough relationship with them that they can come to me and say, hey, we've seen this. And I can go, okay, well, that's cool that you've seen that, but actually that's a movie, you know, like that's a movie and that's not real life. And it's about intimacy. It's about imagine looking someone in the eyes while you're making love. Wow. You know, it's about more than that. And I think we're going to have a generation that is completely screwed up, both male and female, by the amount and the strength of the porn that everyone's carrying around in their pockets. So people like you, who you know, promote intimacy and promote other ways of gaining pleasure.
Well, it sounds like a spiritual connection as well,
which is what sex should be. This is people like you, Alexei. This is great. This is what we need.
Oh, great. Well, I'm around.
Good. Now, listen, let's talk about the yoni massage, because that was how we, Catherine, kind of discovered you. And well done, Catherine, for doing it on your computer, the search, not mine. So do you perform? So do you have, okay,
yes.
Would a woman come to you and say, I need a yoni massage, a massage of my vagina, and do you do it?
Yes, but it's not, it's kind of like, it's a little bit more complicated than the way you described it.
I suspected it was. Go on, fill me in.
Oh, well, you know, people call, and people may very well start like this, and they'll say, you know, I heard about the yoni massage and I want to do a yoni massage. So I'll say, tell me why, and we'll have a conversation about what is going on in their life and what maybe some difficulties they experience, what they're hoping to improve, and then I will suggest the way we would work with it. And it would normally involve the entire tantric massage. The yoni massage on its own is not really something that I think should be done. I think when people offer it, that's a misunderstanding, really, of how female sexuality works. You can't really isolate it like that. It would be a part of the tantric massage. But the tantric massage as a whole, as a body work, would focus on whatever that person is trying to either improve or to heal in their lives. And there's lots of different situations, so you tend to focus it in different ways. Normally I would perform the yoni massage as part of that. Yeah.
Right. Now, okay, let me ask something that a few of our listeners have kind of messaged me on Twitter and said, surely if you are a massage is one thing, okay, and I love a massage. Yeah. It's one of my great treats. I've not had kind of a massage like yours, but it's a great treat. If I'm feeling stressed, I will go and have a Thai massage is the one that I go for.
Yeah.
And that's one thing. But surely an intimate internal massage that I'm assuming leads to a sexual climax.
Mm-hmm.
Is that not a form of sex work, of prostitution?
Well, I mean, the difference, I think, between doing this kind of healing work or... I see myself as a sex coach, essentially, and a sex therapist.
Yeah.
So when people come, it's either to heal something or to learn something. So this is different from someone coming to you and saying, I want this, therefore provide it for me because I'm paying for pleasure.
Yep. Yep.
So no one really does that, you know, with me. When people come, I assess what their needs are and I suggest a way for them forward to learn something or to heal.
Yeah.
It is very unfortunate that in our culture, any way of working with the body to resolve sexual difficulties is seen immediately as some kind of prostitution or sex work. It's kind of nonsensical because the only form of sex therapy that exists is having a chat with someone about your childhood. Whereas the normally the issues are in the body, and the things that people need to heal or to learn are in the body, and it's a little bit like learning sport by just talking about it.
Yes.
So it's a very effective method. It's obviously when it's done genuinely with an understanding by someone who is an expert in sexuality and can understand the issues and can lead someone. It's a much more effective method than just talking about it, which remains very abstract. So, no, I think that's a very fair question, and I understand how that would arrive.
Now, you mentioned you're an expert. How do you become a sex master?
How do you become a sex master? Well, there's many different ways. How you define it. I mean, in my case, it was something that started by itself. Before I started doing it professionally, I found myself doing it in my private life intuitively without realizing it. So a lot of the time, at a very early age already, the women I was with, I started noticing that I had some kind of a therapeutic healing effect. They would tell me about it, and then I just studied a lot of these alternative sources, approaches to sexuality that went beyond the mainstream. So then it was just a kind of a logical thing for me to put two together.
I love it.
To try to do it professionally.
And do you do the other massage? The lingam.
Lingam.
Do you do the lingam?
Well, no, I don't, because I only work
with women.
Good. Yeah,
yes.
With body work. I mean, obviously, I do a full range of sex coaching with all the methods, such as consultations and workshops, when couples come and they can, you know, either.
Well, hopefully they'll come.
Me.
I'm guessing that's part of the. I'm guessing that's part of the thing.
Well, that's probably one thing that your listener got wrong. It's not supposed to end in a climax.
Oh.
And no, that's actually something that
I've been doing
away from normally.
Okay.
Yeah.
Honestly, Alexa, you're being so open, and we're going to plug your website at the end of this. So people, go and get a pen and paper, because we're going to let you know if you're interested in this, where you can go. So when you say you have couples, I know Catherine's got some questions as well. One more from me, then we'll get some from you, Catherine. Mm-hmm. When you say couples, do couples come in, and do you There's no way of asking this that might not that won't sound rude.
No, go ahead.
Do you come in and you say to the man, this is what you do, and you start, you know, putting your hands on his wife?
Or demonstrating.
Demonstrating. Or do the couple have sex in front of you and you go, well, if you just kind of turn that around there and if you reach around there, how does it work? Because you're saying that being practical is what it's all about,
yeah,
and it's different from a talk or watching a film. So how do you get practical when it's a couple?
Yeah. Well, imagine if a couple comes to learn a massage, but obviously they're going to practice it on each other. So it's the workshop is structured like that. So they come for the workshop, and there are elements, there are practices that I explain, and I get them to practice on each other.
Yeah.
They wouldn't normally involve full sex in front of me. That would be awkward, I suppose. but there are ways to isolate certain elements, such as, you know, how they touch each other. Maybe show them some ways of, you know, being in bed together, or the positions, or how they would arrange each other, or how they would touch the genitals. So there are some practices that I guide them through to approximate as much as I can what they would do in private at home. The practices are not just about the physical. This is a very important thing about sex, that it's not the techniques are not just physical. There are a lot of emotional and mental techniques that are just as important. So the way you focus, the way you connect emotionally through your body to each other, it's probably the major part of sex, more than the physical. So all these things can be shown in a workshop environment. I can guide people through that. So it's kind of broken into bits, and then they put it all together at home, so they don't do the full thing in front of me.
Yeah. Catherine?
Alexei, I'm noticing a little accent of yours.
He's got a great voice, by the way.
It's wonderful.
That's a sexy voice.
I'm wondering how much you notice British couples, their problem stems from our culture rather than, you know, anything physically different about us.
Well, no, there's physically different about us, you know. I think the main problem in Britain, perhaps, that I notice is that people just don't talk about it. I mean, I think it's not so much that there are more issues or people find themselves in a more difficult place than in other countries necessarily. I don't really believe that. Mm-hmm. But I think there's a big problem with communication. So it's quite typical of people to not be able to talk to each other about sex at all, or to someone else, or find it very difficult to even come talk to me about it. So that is definitely part of British culture that that makes things difficult for people in that respect.
I've only recently, Alexei, been able to say to people, do you know what? I quite like it when you do that, and I quite like it when you do that, and I don't really like it when you do that. But I can put up with it if, you know...
I can put up with it. That's the spirit.
I can put up with it if it brings you pleasure doing that. You know, that kind of thing. I'm a man in my 40s, and I've only recently discovered this. Man alive, the power I could have had in my late teens and my 20s and my 30s. But the thought of talking about sex or talking to... You know, you're going inside someone, but yet too embarrassed to say what you like doing. That's weird, isn't it, man?
We're caught up in the performance, aren't we, too often?
Yes. Caught up in the performance, everyone treats sex as just something they need to do well. They kind of forget that it's just it's a nice place where you can be together, and it's a place that nourishes you. And it's like, you know, it's like going and spending time in nature. There isn't anything you need to accomplish. You know, that's get a good mark for anything. I think to communicate better about it, you just have to see it as, you know, it's not really about telling each other what you enjoy, but you're doing something together. So it obviously involves some communication about how you're doing it together, and just being exploratory and feeling that you are on the same side. You're both discovering this thing, and you're both exploring it, and you're just sharing with each other how it feels. And when you do this, that's how we feel, and when we do that, that's how we feel. You know, I think it needs to be more neutral rather than feeling it. People often feel that any kind of comment is something you're saying about the other person, while in fact you're just observing how different things feel and cause and effect, really.
When you're talking about exploratory, you know, it's exploratory. I think a lot of people assume that, you know, in the early part of the relationship, you do all that stuff and then you know exactly what's going on. And that's how people end up stuck in ruts sexually, isn't it? What?
That's you're right, stuck in ruts.
But you know what I mean? They go, right, we've done all that nonsense. I know I know her now. But people change, don't they? And their needs must change throughout their lives.
Yes. I think what happens in our culture is that we kind of have a technique for sex just for the first part of the relationship.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So the first kind of passionate sex with a hot stranger, all the kind of, all the exciting stuff. And then people are told that they're supposed to perpetuate this for the rest of their relationship. But if you, this is just the initial party, so to speak. And as the relationship grows and evolves, then yes, the needs of the relationship change. Some very important things change. For example, it does become less about just doing something exciting and exploratory with something new, and it becomes more about this feeling of love and nurturing each other and being there for each other, and you're deepening into more interesting, more delicate experiences together, potentially. It also becomes more about well-being, feeling that sex is a part of your relationship that can nourish you with positive energies, with love, again, for your daily life together. So that all requires a different approach, a different technique, because in the reality of life, you're not going to be jumping around like rabbits like you did in the beginning of the relationship. You know, you're going to be coming home from work and there's going to be kids and whatever. So the reality is different of how much energy, how much time you can spend on this. And what we just don't have in our culture is just any technique, any approach to that part of the relationship that comes after the honeymoon period, which is actually what, you know, things like a tantric approach provide. It's just a much more sustainable way of having sex. And I think when we're talking about exploration, there's a very narrow perspective of what exploration means. Normally it's trying something new, some kind of new hot game, something more, some kind of new location, some new excitement. But that is all variations. It's kind of variations in the same part of the range. It's not really the full range. I think when we talk about sex becoming more interesting and better as the relationship goes on, we are not talking about it becoming more intense and more exciting. We are talking about it spreading more laterally in the way that you are, because you've been together for some time, you can go deeper into experiences that may not necessarily be excitement or intensity, but they will be really beautiful and nourishing and enriching and feel more soulful in different ways. Some of them may be quite relaxing, but beautiful, you know? So that's the side that's not really explored in sex most of the time.
Alexei, it's been a pleasure talking to you. It's been a pleasure having, not that kind of pleasure, but a pleasure having a grown-up conversation about sex, which is unusual. Catherine, what's Alexei's website? And we'll tweet all this as well, don't worry.
This is where I found you, Alexei. It was www.tantrictherapy.co.uk.
Should have been. Surely should have been tantrictherapy.com, but it's dot. Cheap joke at the end of what has been a sensible chat. We'll tweet that out, Alexei.
Yeah.
You listen, man, you are now a friend of the show. Anytime you want to come on, you'd be very, very welcome. You know,
thanks
a lot. I really appreciate your time, man. Thank you.
Thank you. Really enjoyed it. Thank you.
What a nice guy.
I knew he was going to be great.
What a nice guy. I like that. We'll tweet that link out. So if you want to, you know, if you're a lady and you want to get your yoni massaged.
Or if you're a couple who wants to, you know, reconnect.
I tell you what, actually. We'll give away a free yoni massage to any of our female listeners. I will do it. And we'll get, but no. We're going to give away a free lungi. What's it? A free lung cheryl lungi.
Lingam.
A
no.
free lingam massage from Catherine.
No, I got struck off. I can't do that anymore.
Well, because you struck him off. That's so childish.
Thanks, Graham, for this tweet about the space on the streets thing we were talking about earlier on. There's this woman who's been tweeting about, she'd noticed that women seem to move around more when you're walking down the street, move out of the way of blokes walking along. And it's not something that blokes are doing consciously, it transpires. She's found a load of studies that suggest that blokes, because they're bigger and take up more space, and also, you know, you kind of for years and years you've been at the top of the tree, you don't think about moving out of the way so much as women do. Women scan and have kind of been brought up to be agreeable and to move out of the way, whether you realise you're doing it or not. You know, I'm not saying that I'm a shrinking violet. I stick up for myself, but I have to recognise the fact that I move out of the way a lot. You should see it. We should film it one day. Obviously, they'll be moving out of the way because me and Ian would have like helmet cams on and we look like idiots. But it's become a joke with us. We walk down the street, he walks in a straight line, and I'm bobbing and weaving like a boxer. It's incredible. Graham put, in recent years, as I've got older, I've found that I've been more conscious of keeping my distance, especially at night or when there aren't many others around, because I'm not wanting to appear intimidating to anyone. Not that I probably am, but just in case. That's the thing. That's the thing. A lot of blokes don't think of it like that. And it's not their fault. It's just, you know, it's just the way it's worked out over centuries. I wonder whether anyone else has felt like that. I've walked down the street before and felt someone walking too close. And it's a horrible feeling because you don't want to appear rude or to be suggesting that they're some kind of pervert, but you would really like them to, you know, back up. And I think in the past I've made excuse, you know, I've pretended I'd forgotten something or tied my shoelace to see if they passed by or, you know, stupid things like that. Diversionary tactics. But it's all about kind of survival, especially when you're walking down the street at night. And I feel a lot safer in cities than I do in the town where I live, mostly because there's always people around in cities. In the town where I live, you and one other person on the street, you're very, very conscious of them. Very conscious and very conscious of where they are in proximity to you. 03444991000. Hey, Christian.
Hello, Cass.
Hey, nice to hear from you. How you doing?
Good, thanks. I definitely think you should do the helmet cam thing.
The helmet cam may be the way to get people out of the way.
How big are the cameras?
Well, I'll put a massive one on if it means that I get to walk down the street.
Do it, please.
It'd be funny, wouldn't it?
But film you wearing the cameras, not so much the other side of the cameras. That's what.
I tell you what I've got. I've got a dash cam that I used for a bit because I was getting some real dodgy stuff happening on the way home from work, but I took it out and never used it again. Maybe the dash cam, I could like rig it up to some sort of body cam like the cops do.
Yeah, it'll be like a Crime Stoppers, Ian and Cass. Let's do it. I've got a little victory that may also be a big victory. I don't know.
Go on.
We'll see where it goes. I've got facial hair. for one of the first times in my life, I'm actually starting to get facial hair around the parts where I didn't think I was ever going to get facial hair.
All right.
And looking in the mirror, it doesn't look much to look at, but for me, it's huge because all my life, all my mates, one after another, they're getting these big bushy beards, and that seems to be the thing at the minute where, you know, people are growing beards, they're styling beards, and everyone always goes, oh, well, you know, you'll get there eventually, you'll get there. I think it's still one of those things that for a guy in his mid-20s could struggle with, if that makes sense.
Yeah, yeah.
And I just, for some reason, now I'm looking in the mirror and going, right, it's happening there. Eventually we'll have this. You can start to actually look a bit more like a man.
Well,
in a way.
Hang on, paint me a face map. Where is this growing, and is it close to? I mean, or are you patchy?
It's actually my forehead. That's where. I've always had kind of like the mustache.
Right.
I'm quite happy with that, but sadly that fell out of fashion about, I don't know, maybe 20 years ago.
Yeah.
And
I think there was a slight revival about 2 years ago, but only in one part of London.
Well, I'll start the next revival. It's going to happen.
It was the old-fashioned Tom Selleck, and they called it the Sturdy.
I think the Selleck needs to make a return, personally. But the bits that are missing, it's kind of like a collect them all in like cereal packets at the minute for my face. I've got like the sideburns. They keep coming in, and those are the bits that almost come in a bit too much.
Right.
You've got to really shave there. The middle bits between the chin and the jaw, those are the bits we're struggling with.
Right.
So at the minute, I've just seen little sprouts. And for me, that is hope.
What have you been doing? Have you been doing like a facial massage to promote growth?
Honestly, it's weird because I was at uni about five, six years ago. I remember a friend's dad, really good friend of mine, said, actually, no, he didn't say it to me, which still sits a little bit unlikely with me. He said to her, who then passed on to me, saying, tell him to keep shaving, it will happen. And I was like, oh no, someone's dad.
is pointing out that I haven't got a lot of facial hair. That's worse than a girlfriend's dad saying he's not got a lot of facial hair. Yeah. So,
that's
yeah,
someone that's who's not got a horse in the race.
I know, and this guy's got some decent facial hair, and I thought, he has no right to say that to me, but no. At the same time, oh, that means everything. So, yes, okay, maybe I did maybe step up the shaving, but I'm a guy who only shaves maybe, 3 times a month, I would say, at max.
A month?
Yeah, seriously.
Flipping it.
All right.
No, I'm just thinking there's a lot of, you know, a lot of men and some women would be grateful for that kind of lightness of touch.
There is that thing that I always do think about, because a lot of people know say, oh, you know, you've got to shave it, and then when you do, and you maybe shave too much, you're not happy with it.
Yeah.
I am grateful for the times when I go, actually, clean shaven, that is probably an all right look for you, but I still feel as though when the whiskers set in and when it gets too long, there is an element of people may start to take the mick a little bit.
Oh, come on. How old are you? They don't take the mick out of your face now, do they?
25, and it does happen. You sometimes get that, oh, what's that little bit of hair on you there?
Oh.
And it's...
Sorry, that's not the noise you want me to make, is it?
Yeah. 13-year-old me is very happy with that right now. Yeah, it's I honestly, like I said before, I think it's still something, and I don't know if there's other guys listening right now who have struggled to get facial hair, but honestly, I never thought I'd be jealous of something more than I'm jealous of facial hair.
What, you really want a big bushy beard?
I don't want a big bushy beard. I just want to know that I have the capability of doing it.
You want the right to be able to grow one?
Yeah, I want to wake up one morning and go, you know what, I'm going to leave this for 6 weeks. But if I leave mine for 6 weeks, I'll be leaving it for 6 years. And even then, we don't know what's going to happen.
Well, you do realise that one day you will have uncontrollable hair growth and you'll rue the day that you wished for more, because it'll be growing out your ears and all sorts.
Well, I can't wait. Bring it on. I've got my things that you chop bushes with. The shears ready. I'll be ready for that day. But yeah, I don't know if it's like a... I don't find it a demasculating thing. I just think that it's still a bit of a thing that since university, there has always been that kind of... And I hate to quote you on this, Kath, but there has been that, oh, you can't grow it. And I'm like, well, I can't. But I guess maybe I should have applied that thing of, well, in a few years' time, you're going to be complaining about itching, and I'll be there with my smooth as a baby's bottom face.
Exactly. So, I mean, you've got... Just use your moisturiser, you'll be laughing. But it's a weird thing. When I was a kid, I would never have believed that young men would have been growing great big Tsar Nicholas beards, right? And you've got, like, 20-somethings. People that, to me, you know, are barely out of teenage years with these great big, you know, Brian Blesseds. And they're magnificent. And suddenly it becomes kind of, not only is it becomes normal, is that you think, well, that's quite attractive, actually. But when I was a kid, it was always old fellas that had big beards, like Mr. Twit. Yeah.
Honestly, I find it so strange that it has become a fashion thing. And that's probably what bothers me the most about it, and which is why I'm kind of thinking, yeah, but then I think about what I would actually do and how I would look. I've never seen myself with a beard, unless it's like on an app, like using a filter, and I relish those opportunities. I'll email and Snapchat currently and say, please bring back the beard so I can show it off.
Sorry, I did it again.
You did it, yeah. I mean, 3 strikes, I'll put the phone down, it's fine, and then I'll just get a razor and shave it all off again.
Hey, but listen, it's coming through, and, you know, keep on keeping on, Christian.
It'll happen one day.
I mean, if anyone's listening and they've got any hints or tips, when I was a kid, you know, in comics, they used to suggest that, you know, you'd be able to find some sort of magic potion or lotion that you could rub in, and kids would often, in the comics, you know, grow beards and stuff.
Yeah, magical beard. I think the only lotion you get at the minute is the one that makes it all fall off, and I don't really want to use that on my face.
Hey, and I've noticed Veet, right, are now making Veet for men. I'm wondering why, whether it's any different, or whether it's just, I don't know, less embarrassing for a man to buy it. Was it embarrassing in the first place?
On my face?
I'm just saying, the Veet, because now it's Veet for men, just to reassure men that it's okay to buy it. Men have been using it for years, haven't they?
I think definitely. I mean, I think it's certainly
it's a thing for chests and stuff, isn't it? Because not that I ever admit to watching the thing, but I know that the cast of Geordie Shore.
Oh God, they, yeah.
I know that they tend to. In fact, the first series of it, they were like promoting the use of Veets, and yeah, I do my chest before I go out. But this is like every night. It's like those... any little hair, similar to the ones that I've got on my chin currently, would be gone.
Those guys are not living a sustainable lifestyle, full stop, though. I would not use them as role models.
No, I don't know what life they're living, honestly. It's
incredible.
Weird, but...
That was the first time I saw, and I know you're from that kind of neck of the woods, but what is going on in Newcastle with the eyebrows, the men's eyebrows?
Are they going? Oh, no, I don't know.
They're disappearing. Some of them are better plucked than a really good drag queen's.
Oh, yeah. No, you're right. You're right. This is the threading.
Yeah.
I'm really not all famous with all of me metrosexual things at the minute, apart from the top of me head. But, yeah, it's weird, isn't it? People are... I mean, the next thing I know, that guys will be drawing them on.
Oh, God, I think...
fine.
I think that's happening. I think it's happening.
Oh, it's happening. This is how behind the curve I am.
No, but stay out of that curve. You don't want to go to that curve because it's a scary one. To me, it just reminds me of sort of Ming the Merciless or some sort of... It just...
Yep.
That's the first thing you see, and it should be a face framer. It shouldn't be the thing drawing attention and, you know... I'm from.
Maybe I should be drawing on a mustache and a beard.
Hey,
maybe that's
actually yes. Maybe harness the technology for good rather than evil. Maybe that's the secret.
I like the idea of a big Ming the Merciless hanging off me.
When you do it, I want a picture.
There's a funny story. I used to work in a restaurant, and I'll go after this. But a guy once walked in with a tash on his face, which we were convinced was similar to, like, Ming the Merciless. I mean, it came right down to his chin. It was almost like a fancy dress Mexican bandit thing, and we thought, oh, that's fantastic. And then he sat down. Just before he ordered his food, he takes off the fake moustache.
Wow.
Like, it was a fake in the first place. He was sat there, and he'd walk into this restaurant, like, completely casual, no other gimmicks on him, like, not wearing a hat or anything. He just had this fake moustache on, and then...
Obviously in disguise. Was it a
Well, maybe it was one of those things you pulled out a newspaper with two holes cut into it afterwards. That was probably the big giveaway. But yeah.
Spot the rubbish spy.
Yeah, maybe he had the same problem as me, 25 and unable to.
Maybe he did. Well, stay tuned, Christian, because I'm sure there's a lot of hairy men out there who've got some tips for you for hair growth.
My friend's dad's probably going to phone in and just mock me again.
He probably is. I'll try to prevent myself from making that noise, though, Christian, because I know it's not helpful in this scenario.
Do it again, then I can hang up.
Oh. Hello, Susan.
Good evening.
Good evening, and how are you?
Oh, is this the lovely Catherine?
It is. I'm on my own today.
Where's your partner in crime?
My partner in crime is not feeling too clever, so he stayed off, and which is probably a good thing. Give himself a chance to recover.
Exactly. Well, it's lovely to hear. It's a lovely show.
Oh, thank you. It's about to get better, Susan, because your contributions are among my favourites at the moment.
Oh, thank you. There's not many people who give me that lovely welcome. Thank you, Catherine. Before I talk to you about something, I was just thinking about myself and other ladies who might be walking home in the dark.
Yes.
Because I actually work quite late and I walk up quite a badly lit road. I don't drive, you see, so I have no choice, basically. I walk up quite a darkly lit residential road. And a couple of times... I've sort of thought, that person's walking a bit too close behind me. And the thing, a good tip I'd like to pass on to any ladies out there is if you feel endangered, just very confidently take out your phone, pretend to tap in a message, a number, they won't know.
Mm-hmm.
And then you say quickly, "Hello, darling, how far away are you?"
Ah.
Oh, good. Yeah, and then you say, "Oh, good, that's just 2 minutes away. I'm at such and such, you know, at the bridge of the hill or at such and such. Oh, great, see you soon then. Bye." Then you see, whoever's there will be thrown off balance because they'll think, oh, she's got somebody arriving, you know.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we're assuming that they're all evil rapists, but actually sometimes people forget.
I think 99% of the time it's absolutely fine. People are just getting home like us,
yeah,
like you. But there was once, I think, I was almost getting mugged because this bloke went ahead of me, and I thought it was too far. It's too. He wouldn't have had time to clear the hill.
Mm-hmm.
And I just happened to look over the road, and he was hanging around in the dark passageway opposite me. Yeah. So anyway, I did that with the phone, you know, and I thought, right, you know, I'll show you. And do you know what I mean, Kathy?
Yeah.
And I made a fake telephone call for my own protection, and he sort of got wind of it, and he, you know, and just sort of walked back away.
Wow. Do you know what? That's great thinking, because the times that weird things have happened to me, I've either frozen or kind of ploughed on, trying to convince myself it's not happening.
You do, because it's very worrying, you know, when you're on your own and the road is badly lit. But it's just a tip. And also another tip is to, you can just walk confidently up a driveway of a house and pretend you live there.
Yeah. Do you know what? My mum used to always say to me to do that. Yeah. When I was a kid walking home from school, she said, if you ever feel that someone's behaving dodgy, she said, always stay on a road with windows near a house, or go and knock on a door.
Exactly. And then if you have to knock on the door, and if the person comes to the house, I'm terribly, terribly sorry, but I think someone was following me. I do apologise for bothering you, and you know, but just make that contact. That's just a little bit of advice for anybody who's worried about walking home dark at night.
You've just made me think of something before we go on to the next thing, and I can't wait to hear it, is I've heard loads of really nice stories recently of women sticking up for other women, right? Where, you know, imagine you're stuck talking to some dodgepot, or someone's behaving inappropriately and you're in public, women have gone up to other women and said, can you just pretend you know me for a second and engage me in conversation? And women have done that. Yeah. And that's another thing. I would be more than up for that. If someone was feeling like that, I'll be your best friend for 5 minutes if it means you'll go away.
Oh, absolutely. I wouldn't even think of doing anything else. Oh, that's good. Where did you hear about that?
I've heard a few, because it became a bit of a kind of, you know, kind of pass it on. Yeah. This is the thing you can do. Yeah. This is another little trick we can do to help each other out.
I'll help anybody out. Yeah. Absolutely. Oh, that's a good idea. Did you read about that?
Yeah, I did. I think I read about it on Twitter. Okay. There were a couple of instances where women had gone, I noticed she was in trouble, so I went over and said, hey, I've been waiting for you for ages. Where have you been?
Oh, that's very good, Catherine.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, we can all help each other, can't we, if we need to?
For sure. Go on. What were you going to say, Susan, before I rudely interrupted?
Well, no, you weren't rude at all. I was just going to say that I managed to keep myself away from that man.
Good.
Yes, I know. But today, Sunday, I do my tulip. It was, by the way, it's lovely to have heard all the calls tonight. It was really enjoyable. It's really lovely listening to all the little calls that came in, you know, from ladies and gentlemen. It was lovely.
Yeah, they've been good tonight. I've been really appreciative of it, because the worst thing for me is if I'm looking at a switchboard that's completely empty and I'm twiddling my thumbs. God, nightmare.
I think you have a very lovely way with you. Have you done counselling or anything?
No, I haven't. I haven't. No.
You'd be very good. You'd be very good at it.
Thanks, Susan. I appreciate that.
Ooh.
So go on, tell me about this this fella and his powerful sexual attraction.
Oh, I know. It's awful. Sunday, I got in and quite late, because I do three little tiny jobs and they all mount up. It's like 6 hours, and then I have to get the bus and come home. Normally, it's after 10 when I come home anyway. And I came in along the corridor, and he whips the door open, and I swear he's not emotionally stable, Catherine. I swear to you.
Why? What did he say?
Well, I've known him for a long time on and off, he switches, you know. Well, he said, where have you been? I've been looking for you all day. I said, what do you mean you've been looking for me all day? Well, I didn't tell him I was at work. Why should I tell him things? He doesn't tell me anything. If he does, it's a lie. I don't want him to know where I've been. Do you know what I mean?
None of his business, Susan.
No, it's not. We're not together. If it's your partner, of course I'd tell. You know.
Well, even then, I mean, he's not your keeper.
Well, no, he's not. But he was like almost in a panic. He said, I've been looking for you and waiting for you all day. Where have you been? And I said, I don't like telling lies, but I said, my auntie's not very well. I have got an auntie who's not very well, but she's not in the area.
Yeah, but he doesn't know that, does he?
Well, exactly. Doesn't have to, does he?
No.
So
So and it was sort of almost in a panic. I thought, Jesus, this is weird. So anyway, I said, look, I said, I don't like how you talk to me and I don't like how you treat me. And then he starts telling lies and that, and I just walked away. I said, look, it's almost every time we meet, we can't have a civilised conversation even. You know, we have an argument. I said, we're going into an argument now. I just can't do this. And I walked away. He said, oh, that's it. Walk away.
Get in there, Susan. Or rather, don't.
I did. So I get out of the way of him. Exactly. And I came down to my flat and... I thought, you know what, he just makes me so stressed, Catherine. So anyway, I opened the door of my flat to come in, and I found this letter. He'd written a letter.
Oh, Susan, I need to take a break. Can we get you to straddle the break for me?
Yes, of course.
With your mystery letter. No, don't apologise. I'm hooked. 03444991000. We'll hear the rest of Susan's letter after this. We left you on a cliffhanger, dear listener. Susan, having avoided the bounder that has been such a sexual attraction for her that she's been unable to resist him, for even though she knows he's totally wrong for her, she managed to walk away from him today. Susan, I hear you told me only half of that story. Because when you're having this conversation, what was he wearing?
What was he wearing when he had this conversation with me?
Yeah, today.
What was he wearing? He always looks rather nice, and he was wearing a sweatshirt and some pants and some trousers. Always looks very nice.
Sam told me he had nothing on.
Who told you that?
Sam answered the phone. Oh, he's guessing. Sam's making up his own flipping stories.
No, no.
Outrageous. No,
I've seen him naked, haven't I?
Of course you have. Of course you have.
He's got a very, very nice body. I will say that.
Hairy chest?
Yeah.
The radio show that knows truth is always stranger than fiction.
Week Monday, I get shoes.
The Late Night Alternative with Ian Lee.
Because they're too real to be part of my imagination.
On Talk Radio.
Worked out what the tune is. Just worked out what the tune is of that cleansing ritual. Just worked out what the tune is.
Oh.
You got it? Have you got it?
Well, the first bit sounded like Somewhere Out There from American Tail.
What is this?
Sally.
It's it, isn't it? Is that? Fields. 03444991000 is the phone number. If you want to give us a call. The first 2 hours have flown by the way.
Oh, they totally have.
Isn't it? Who is Sam talking to? Is there someone in there with you? You're talking to someone. Is there someone down there? Who's down there? He's not.
He's probably talking to his stomach. He's suffering.
He just looked down and was like talking down there. Go and check. I don't believe him. Who are you in a second, Rachel? Someone's under that desk. What is going on with you, boy?
Dirty boy.
Well, listen, he's young. I'm turning a blind eye. You carry on. It's like that scene in Police Academy with the lectern. Good evening, Rachel.
Hi, Ian.
Hello, Rachel. What have you got for us this wonderful, wonderful evening as our country explodes around us? What would you like to say to the nation?
Well, I just thought, as you've had a few new callers tonight,
yes,
I would join into that party.
Oh, the old
my partner.
Yes.
Yeah, well, you know.
We're welcome. Very welcome.
My partner, Jason, is just obsessed with your show and literally listens to your podcast live whenever, because he travels quite a lot.
Okay. So you're saying Jason is away from home quite a bit. Is that what you're saying?
Oh, no, that's fine. He travels, so he listens. But he likes to listen. It keeps him, you know,
right,
entertained. So my point is,
yes,
he has said, let's liven the show up.
Ooh.
Let's have a sing-song.
Oh.
A bit of Neil Diamond.
Yes, man!
Sweet Caroline.
Get in there! Go for it, Rachel!
Oh, no, I don't want to sing on my own.
We'll get you and...
I thought you were going to play the song for us.
I'm not going to...
Liven it up a little bit.
What do you mean, liven it up a little bit? It's the most lively show we've ever done. You want me to sing? What am I, your monkey or something?
Right, so... No, you're not a monkey, but my partner, Jason, now wants to sing a little bit of Sweet Caroline with you, though, Ian.
I'm not singing! Hey, listen, first of all, you keep saying he's your partner. I'm suspicious. I think Jason is you, and then you're just going to put on a different voice. That's why you can't sing at the same time.
Here. I promise you, he's here. He is here.
Let me hear him talk.
Hello.
Yeah, it's
the same person.
They're not talking at the same time. It's the same person. He thinks I'm stupid.
Got to get up earlier in the day to trick us.
Let me speak to Rachel, please, Jason.
Rachel is passing over now.
Hello.
It's like Ray Allen and Lord Charles when they do a duet. It sounds like they're doing. You're the same person.
No, we're not. I promise you.
Well, how come you can't talk at the same time?
There we go. Yep.
You didn't. If you play that tape back, one of you said something, then the other one said something.
God's sake.
Rachel.
Yes.
Please, yes. Could you sing some Neil Diamond for us?
Hold on.
Shut up, Jason.
All right.
I'm falling for it now.
Stop it.
I'm getting sucked into the madness. Rachel, could you please sing?
Are you not a Neil Diamond fan or what?
I am not. I'm going to choose the or what.
Oh, you're not a Neil Diamond.
No, you said, are you not a Neil Diamond fan or what? I'm going for or what. Rachel, liven this show. It's as flat as a pancake. So why don't you liven it up by singing us a Neil Diamond song?
A one,
right?
Let's a two,
get a little
a one,
bit
two,
of
three,
background
four.
YouTube. Right, you ready?
Yep, go.
Oh, I'm not ready. Not prepared. I thought you were
going to. What was that?
Did
you just drop your guts?
Oh, Ian, I'm disappointed.
I'm disappointed in you phoning up and blowing off down the phone, dirty woman or man. Rachel, a one, two, yeah. One, two, three, four.
It's not how the counting works.
They really have livened up this show that they said needed livening up, didn't they? Flipping heck, man.
Dancing becomes drama.
Oh.
You ready, Ian? Yeah,
we've been ready for the last 5 minutes. Well, that's Neil Diamond.
Touching hands.
In time with the music if you can.
Oh, I'm trying. You now.
God.
Touching me. Touching me.
Oh, God.
Sweet Caroline. Good times in Austin, so good.
0344-499-1000.
Every pot finds its lid, doesn't it?
Yay. Why was she pretending, or he pretend? Well, there was the same person. We know that clearly. There was only one person there. Why would you do that? What kind of sick? That's a bit like Anthony Perkins in Psycho, isn't
yeah,
it?
He's
pretending to be his mum.
Yeah.
Psycho's rubbish. See, what's clever about Psycho, what's really clever about Psycho, is that the first 30 minutes, you think it's all about that woman.
Uh-huh.
I think she's robbed a bank or something. It wasn't her and her partner robbed a bank and she puts the money in the boot of the car. So you think the whole film's going to be about her.
And she was a big star.
Who was she?
Janet Leigh.
That was it. Distant, very
you know
distant
who her daughter
relative
is?
Of mine. Yeah, of course I do. Jamie Lee Curtis. Am I right? I'm not wrong.
I was thinking of her other daughter.
Vivian Leigh. I'm not wrong. I know the Lees. And, of course, her first husband, Bruce. Now! And, of course, her second husband, Christopher. Yes!
And, of course, her great-grandson.
Me. Now, so the genius is that the misdirection is you think it's going to be about her, but then she gets, spoiler alert, killed off in about 30 minutes. Then the rest of the film's boring. So there's a guy who lives, thinks, dressed up as his mum and kills people. Boring.
It was shocking for those days.
No, it wasn't. Here's the thing. I'm going to say it. Hitchcock's films suck.
I don't really like them.
I did quite like The Birds, actually. Vertigo sucks. North by Northeast sucks. The one that doesn't...
Rear Window?
Sucks. The one that doesn't suck is the remake of Rear Window with Christopher Reeve. I'm joking. That sucks as well. When he was in the wheelchair.
Oh,
when
gosh.
He after the accident, yeah. No, the one that doesn't suck is Lovely. Lovely. When Van der Valk goes round strangling women in London. That's a late one, 1970, 71. Lovely. Lovely.
It's called Lovely, Lovely.
Is he strangling? No, what's it called? It's called The Eden Project. It's called...
Boston Strangler.
No, that's Tony Curtis. Lovely. What's it called? Oedipus. Centenary. It's set in London. It's called the Vagina Monologue. It's called... I don't know what it's called.
But it's lovely.
Can someone phone in? Phone in and tell me what... Did you type it on the screen? What did you type on the screen? What is going on with you? Driving me. Lucky I'm strapped into this chair. Otherwise, I have to get strapped in now for medical and, strangely enough, legal reasons. If I wasn't strapped in, I'd be out there.
He's literally had a restraining order.
Yeah, on myself. Watched a film that gets 7.6 on IMDb, and I'm watching it thinking, nah, this ain't a 7.6.
Oh, really? What was that?
Upgrade. So, it was like Knight Rider, but without a car. Sorry?
Right. Okay.
Why are you laughing at that bit?
Knight Rider without a car.
Right, hang on a second. You're laughing at that. You've not seen it. And I'm going to blow your mind. But yeah, it's like Knight Rider without a car.
I'm imagining Knight Rider without a car, and it's just Michael Knight being reconstructed and strutting about.
Okay. Spoiler alert, guys. I'm going to tell you what happens in Upgrade now, just because I need to destroy Catherine Boyle. Give me some other things that happen in Knight Rider. With the car.
Stunts. Wicked stunts.
Okay. And when he's away from the car, what happens?
He can press a button and the car comes for him.
Okay. But
I think he's got a watch like yours that you can...
Yeah. And what happens with that watch? Look out, Michael. There are two men in the room behind you.
Oh, right.
They've got guns, Michael.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. So now take the car out, but you still get those messages.
Who's talking to him then? Not the car.
No,
so no one's talking.
No,
he's just got a watch.
The microchip that's
inserted. Crap watch.
My watch is not crap.
Well,
you take that back now.
Where is it?
It's there. That watch is a Casio calculator, water resistant alarm chrono. That's a flipping. You're not touching it.
It looks like you got it out of a cracker. Don't mouth F off to me. That's
I'm
really
not
very rude.
F off. I'm mouthing the full words.
I know you are. Wow!
Yeah.
Wow!
Yes.
That escalated, ladies and gents.
Yeah, it did. Because this is not a crap watch.
Okay.
Let's see your watch, mate. Let's have a look at your watch. Bling! Bling! Look at you! Look at you!
It's a grown-up's watch.
JJ Cool Man. What's his name? LL Cool J.
Well, ladies love Cool James.
Yeah. Look. Bling! What is this? Do you do like a little drive? Do you do a drive-by shooting before you went and got pimped the money off your hose? What is that thing? I can't even look at it. It's so bright. Oh! Let's have a look at the face.
It's the watch of a...
Oh, mate, it's got three... What do the other three dials do?
Seconds?
Oh, so
minutes?
Hasn't got a second.
Hours. Then. It's a stopwatch.
So you've got three dials that do seconds, minutes and hours.
Yeah, for timing. I'm going to time how long it takes for you to stop being a knob.
Well, stop it now. It's finished. Because you are an idiot. You don't know class. Everyone... This was a video on YouTube... This was an online meme. This watch went viral last week. It's online now.
Just rub it with a bit of Dettol.
Why don't you rub that with a bit of Dettol?
Wow, why have you brought that into it?
Because you're bringing this into it. So I'm bringing that into it.
That is none of your business.
Yeah, and this is out of your league. Yeah. So I accept.
Gosh, you've been going for quite a long time. I'm just checking my stopwatch.
You've been going for too long. I don't need to check a stopwatch, even though this does have stopwatch facilities, and I can do laps.
But you don't know how it works.
And I could do. I have not. I could work it out if I needed to.
Did you get some instructions?
This has got a calculator. I did actually, but I don't know where they are now. But I could work it out if I needed to. So why don't you just get lost? You know, the kids at school bullying me because my watch was pony. Well, this is not a pony watch. This is a classy watch. Look, he goes, bling, bling, bling. Hey, I'm Jay-Z, and I'm going to get up on stage and push Taylor Swift off stage. Why don't you go and push Taylor Swift off stage and talk about your wife?
Don't hate. Congratulate.
I don't hate. I masturbate. Now you've made me say that. Look, can we have the ads now?
Uncut, after-hours conversation for the up-all-night generation.
The Late Night Alternative with Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
We'll get you talking.
Oh, dear, what can the matter be? Three old ladies locked in the lavatory.
They've been there from Monday to Saturday. Nobody knew they were there.
Now they're dead. 03444991000 is the telephone number if you want to give us a call. Late Night Alternative, DAB, app or online. All the ways to listen. Podcasts as well. Podcasts are plenty. Go to iTunes, Acast, your usual podcast provider. Type in Ian Lee, Catherine Boyle. Stuff will pop up. Paul Ross is on at one. Switchboard is empty, so now's a great time to call. So I've moved house recently. And I had a lot of stuff. Well, we moved to Windsor, I guess, about 7 years ago. No, about 6.5 years ago. And from London, where I'd lived for a long, long time. So a lot of stuff got chucked, unfortunately. A lot of stuff I decided to chuck. A lot of stuff I went to look for it had been chucked. I don't know how that happens. and a lot of stuff just went in the garage. Was in a box in the garage and was untouched for many a year. Many a muckle makes a mickle.
Oh.
And I was living, and then marriage broke down. Sadly, these things happen. And I moved into, rented a Comodazziano for a couple of years, a little room. And I didn't really bring many of my things with me. I didn't bring any of my things with me. I had some books. I'm a books. I'm a poetry to protect me. And that was it. And a green screen. And then recently I've bought a house, very nice house. And so all the stuff that was in the garage has come with me to the house. And it's not a lot of stuff. It means a couple of boxes have rocked up that I've not looked in for a few years. I had a little look in one of the boxes and I found this. The brown ring binder file. And in it, there's... Well, there's a list of agents that I was trying to get in touch with. 0171 is the number. That's how old this is. All these places that I was trying to get gigs as well. Places. There's the address for the drummer of Cooler Shaker written there as well. Duncan Bar. Crack Comedy. All these comedy clubs that you have to phone to try and get open spots. Michael Armit, who's now a director of The One Show. And there's songs that I wrote. It's not all songs that I wrote. There's just some plain paper there. That's fine. There's some sketches that I wrote with Mackenzie. Got all this. What's this?
Is it the Lucy Speed You're All I Need song?
That could be in here. That could be in here. From this era. 2021. Now I'm a little bit embarrassed about this.
Well, let me see that thing that you just put away.
No, that was song lyrics on the back of like a payslip or something.
Can I look?
No, you can't look. You can't read them though.
Why?
Because I'm starting to get a little bit embarrassed.
You've got to push through the shame, man.
You've got to push through the shame. That wrote on like a sick bag. Oh, I mean, these are
Is that song called Goodnight Louse?
Which one? That's called Goodnight Louise.
Okay.
You can't look at these. You cannot look at these until I am ready. Oh, God. They're all just... there's some stand-up. Here's a stand-up routine I was working on. Here's a stand-up routine I was working on when I was, like, okay. 19. They say it's a small world, but have you ever tried to walk it? I was never a very good stand-up. I was terrible stand-up. You always see fat people drink Diet Coke. Which is true.
Donald Trump said that, didn't he?
I've written down here, here's just a phrase I've written. Spunky monkey. Spunky monkey.
Yeah.
Stand up and wee on the bus. You should have gone to the toilet. I don't know what any of this... This is like 25 years ago. I don't know what any of this means. Police escort. Shag like rabbits. I don't know what that says. Shinsies. Vicar sack for not believing in God. These are all comedy routines that I was working on. But this is the gold. I don't know if I can do this tonight, because now I'm feeling a little bit ashamed.
Do you want me to go out? Is it because I'm doing a face?
You are doing a face.
I'm just doing my face, but I know that sometimes it annoys you.
Oh, your face annoys me so much.
I know.
That one.
I can't help it.
That one.
I'm not even doing a face at this point. It's just a face that's on my skull.
Look at this. This is, here we go. What is, look at this. This is like, it's when I was applying to get tickets for the for Alan Partridge. It's the address you have to write to. Some of these are busking songs, right? So there's Waterloo Sunset is there. Some Monkeys songs. Oh, I don't know.
I want to hear your songs.
I don't know if I can, Catherine.
Come on, I've sung you flipping Yo We're Wow about 15 million times.
Yeah, but you were like 9 when you wrote that. I was an adult. I could vote when I wrote
this.
You
were still a child in so many ways.
Let's go to John first, shall we?
Diversionary tactics.
We may not get time tonight.
Ian, come on.
Sorry. Good evening, John.
Hi.
Jesus, it's the worst line.
Hi, Ed.
Hi, John. Great to hear from you, man. What have you got for us?
I just wanted to tell you like a little story about something that's happened to myself and my wife this week. And it's amusing but totally stupid.
Okay.
So what happened was, it's my wife's birthday, and as a treat, I bought tickets for us to go to a concert on Monday night at the O2 to see George Ezra.
Oh, really? My boy's favourite?
Yeah.
Excellent. So,
Budapest, that's what we call it. Adibido. Yes, Adibido, yes.
So, okay, so on Monday, I booked us a hotel in London. We drove up to London, checked into the hotel.
Yeah.
We set off for the O2 Arena. We looked at the tickets. The concert wasn't until today.
No,
so
what?
That was mistake number one.
Hang on. You thought it was on Monday?
I thought it was on Monday. I booked the tickets a long time ago. Wrote it on the calendar at home for the 12th of November.
Oh, mate!
I know, nightmare. So we went to London on Monday, checked into a hotel, went to the gig, and it wasn't until today. So
unlucky, dude.
That was mistake number one.
Yeah.
Mistake number two, we drove back to the O2 today, parked up, walked to the O2 for the gig. It wasn't even at the O2, it was at Wembley Arena.
Oh, no! Yo, you idiot!
What a twat! What an idiot!
John, what were you thinking?
Oh, no, I'm a nutter.
So, did you not... You've not seen George Ezra then? And you spent a week in London?
Yeah, no, we left the car at the O2, parked up, jumped on the tube at Greenwich, went all the way across London.
That's the other side of London, man.
Oh, no, it's not. Don't even go there.
Did you get to see the concert?
We got to the concert, it was fantastic, yeah.
Oh,
great.
Okay, you got there. And is your wife... is your wife still talking to you?
Yeah, she's sat next to me now. We're in the car on the way home to Portsmouth.
And how much has this week costed? Did you stay in London the whole week?
No, we went back to Portsmouth on Tuesday. We only stayed in Monday night. We ended up going to a comedy club in a gay bar on Monday night instead of the George Ezra concert.
Oh, that's all right then. That sounds like a good thing.
That was a good night, yeah.
John, you're a good man. Sounds like you've got a good, solid relationship. And that's going to be a story to tell the grandkids about how you completely muffed up George Ezra. Thanks for sharing it with us, man.
Cheers,
bye-bye. I've not done as bad as that. I've gone to the wrong venue to see Stephen Stills. Got to Stephen Stills just as he was going, thanks very much, good night. Oh, man. Good evening, Sadiq.
Guess what's coming out? Laurel and Hardy, the film's coming out.
Laurel and Hardy made a film?
Yeah, it's on YouTube. I want to tell you, but I forgot to tell you.
Oh, man, alive.
And guess what's coming on Sunday? I'm a Celebrity's coming back on again.
Yeah, I won't be watching that.
And, you know, people that have epilepsy, are they allowed to go in the jungle or not?
Yeah, I think epileptics are allowed in the jungle. Yeah, I would have thought so. Why? Have you got epilepsy?
It's dangerous, but people have seizures. How can they go on a game
They have medics watching. They have medics standing by watching the whole time. Well, actually, they weren't standing by, because I remember Stanley last year fell over and cut his hand because he's a knob. And the medics took ages to come out and fix it.
How about people have, what's it called?
Strokes.
Not strokes, I mean people like diabetics or something like that.
Yeah, they're diabetics. Diabetics are allowed to do it. Here's the thing.
I didn't know that.
I don't think it's wheelchair accessible, so that is discriminatory. We can get a wheelchair over that rope bridge.
Late night, Ian Lee on Talk Radio. We'll get you talking.
Sadiq, can I read you some lyrics I wrote when I was a younger man, and you let me know whether you think this will make a good song?
If you give me a number, I can tell you.
I'm not going to give you the number. So I'm going to read this. This is a song. This one doesn't have a title. Right? So I'm going to read this and you're going to let me know what you think about it, okay?
Okay.
And I tell you, I'm so nervous reading these out. Listen, I know that these are rubbish, okay? I'm not doing this going, I know this. I'm reading these because these are embarrassing, right?
You said my name on the rabbit hole. Do you know that?
No.
You did. You said Sadiq.
Okay. Are you ready?
Yeah.
If anyone's listening, if anyone wants to... I'm only doing this because Sally is on Twitter saying I'm bottling it. I'm not bottling anything. I'm prepared. I'm bearing my soul. And if George Ezra is listening on the way home from Wembley Arena and he's thinking, I'm running out of lyrics. I got no words. I got tunes. I got no words. Then, George, you can have these. 50-50, obviously. So here we go. Catherine, I'm going to dedicate this to you. I don't have chords written down for this, so I can't give any indication. But any musicians out there listening, want inspiration, have some of this. Are you ready, Sadiq?
I want to ask you a question. How can I talk to you on the rabbit hole if I don't have your number?
Okay. Are you ready, Catherine?
I'm always ready.
Here we go. It's respectful. Can I hold your hand? I don't know if you can hear me, but I'm talking to you.
Hey?
Did you say you like it? He's gone. Sadiq's gone. He's gone. Three lines and he's shot his load. Start again. Actually, let me hold your hand while I do this.
Really?
Yeah. Can I hold your hand? I don't know if you can hear me. But I'm talking to you. Oh, no, this is inappropriate, actually, for us. So I dedicate this to Sam. Wherever you are, you know I love you.
Oh, Sam.
These are great lyrics. Breathe. If I push you, you breathe. Couldn't I just sit here for 1,000 years and gently nudge you?
With what?
I don't know. Reading it as an older man now, it feels like I'm talking about a penis. But I wouldn't, as a 20-year-old, I wouldn't have been writing about a penis.
Also, nudging someone with your penis for 1,000 years, it's not a sustainable lifestyle, is it?
Then it gets dark.
Oh, dear.
If you die now, you know I'll never forgive you. Only you could leave me now of all the times to go.
That's some deep shiz.
Sam, come on the microphone there for a second, because you were pulling a face there, and I just didn't understand what was that face you were pulling? It looked like confusion.
Yeah, I don't get it.
What do you mean, don't get it?
I don't get it.
What music are you into? Nickelback. You don't get music. Get stuffed. I'm not doing this because I'm saying that they're good.
Is there a chorus?
That's all there is for that.
Right, okay.
That's all there is for that.
You gave up. You're talking about sitting there for 1,000 years nudging someone and you can't even manage a second verse.
It was finished.
Right.
It was finished. I'm on a roll now. Let's find some more.
Another one.
Let's find some more. The ones on the little bits of paper I don't think are as good as the...
The ones that got the proper A4 treatment. This is good.
Here we go. Here we go. Right, this has got chords. This is C. This is in chord of C. This is chord of C, and then the chorus, it goes to F and G. F and G. So the verse is C, the chorus is F and G.
I get it. Well done.
Should have brought my guitar in. We could have made
Oh, God.
Night of this.
I mean.
Can I tell you, I feel so nervous. But thank you. Thank you, listener. Not thank you, Catherine. Thank you, listener, for allowing me to express my another part of my artistic soul. This one hasn't got a title.
I'll give it one.
No, you won't. This is my... I'm exposing myself to you.
I know, yet again.
I'm feeling kind of lonely.
Oh.
Kind of lonely.
Oh, cool. You're a cool guy.
I'm feeling kind of lonely. I can't read my writing. Wishing you would be there. Phone me.
Oh, that's lovely.
It's an unusual reaction. Sometimes we laugh out of arousal.
Oh, my God.
Let me know when you're ready and I'll carry on.
I'm never going to be ready.
I'm never going to be ready. Katie says, I'd love to hear your songs. I bet you are brilliant. So do I, Katie.
She's a bum lick.
That's another song I've got here, actually. She's a bum lick. I'm feeling...
Oh, hang on.
But I've got hundreds in here. We got like a month's worth of shows.
Wait.
Okay.
Wait. It was just the phone me caught me by surprise. It was so rude.
This is in the day before everyone had mobile phones, so actually it's...
Did I have to look you up in the book?
I'm feeling...
Wait a minute.
What noise? I don't even know what that noise is.
Right, come on, Catherine, get it together. Dead dogs, dead dogs, dead dogs.
Which is actually the title of another song I've got in here.
Okay, wait. Don't do another one yet. Oh, this is silly. Stop.
The songs that I wrote as a 20-year-old. I may have been 22.
Okay.
I'm feeling this is in C. So the verse is in C and the chorus is F and G. I'm feeling kind of lonely. Wishing you would be there. Phone me. I don't know what I can do. You're so near, yet I'm miles away from you. And I'm sure that I have seen you somewhere before. And I want you to come knocking at
my
door.
Classic.
Well, I like the classic rhymes. I'm a classicist.
Oh, God. Oh.
Then we go back to C. So that was F and G. Let's go back to C. Wander around the town for 5 or 6 hours. This is not one of my best. Go to the park. Stay there till dark, talking to the flowers. strange reaction.
Oh, God. Oh. Oh, dear.
I think that's the end of that song, actually.
Thank God. It's probably for the best.
Okay.
Oh,
all right.
That's lovely. That's lovely.
I'm on a roll here. I'm up for doing this all night. I'm up for doing this all night. This one's called I Love You, I Love You. And the chords for this are A. If you've got a guitar, if anyone's got a guitar, could you... if anyone's got a guitar or a keyboard, could you phone up 0344-499-1000? We'll workshop it now. Workshop it.
Can I? A, is there an online piano on here? I can do it. Hang on.
Okay. A7 D. These are great chords. Mm. I've written here. A7 D F sharp M F sharp minor E. So this is quite an advanced. What is that?
A.
But that's not a chord.
Yeah, but I need. I wouldn't be able to do. I've got a touch screen.
We'll find something that does chords then.
Oh God.
Anyway, this one's called I Love You, I Love You. I love
what
you.
What are the notes again?
It's not notes, it's chords.
I know, but whatever, we'll just workshop it.
A7.
Yeah.
D, F sharp minor, and E.
All right, go on.
I love you. I love you. You're just, but that's, no, you don't, no, I don't want to play with you.
All right, I'll stop it. Go on, serious.
Actually, that's quite atmospheric. That works.
We're getting back. Hang on.
It works. It's atmospheric. I like it.
Virtual piano. I wonder if it goes chords.
Hi, Ian. John's wife, Donna, here. Who's John? Was that? Oh, that's the Ezra
guy. The one
guy.
That has been disappointed several times by
Donna,
John.
Donna. Jeez, do you want to cough a little bit louder into the microphone? Donna. Dump John. Donna. Hi, Ian. John's wife, Donna, here. Your songs sound good. We want to hear more of the bum lick song. I'll see if I can find it.
Oh, dear.
Okay. You ready? I love you, I love you. Words scribbled down in a fit of passion. I can't believe I won't see you again, my friend. Goodbye. Not laughing now, are you?
No, I'm waiting for my piano to come up.
If you can forgive...
Okay. Well, is it AD what?
No. A7, which yeah. You can't do because you're not
playing chords. I'm
going
to ignore that. I'm just going to do
D,
A
and... F sharp minor, and E. And when I finger you, that's when you go to the... Right, that's when you go to the next chord.
I'm going to have to write them down because... Can you've got a pen?
You're not touching any of these documents.
Pass that pen there, please.
I sent Julia an email yesterday. I heard her on another radio station and I emailed her and said she made me laugh.
Very nice. Pass me that
She
pen.
Said she was terrified in the moral maze.
Wow. This is almost civil.
Yeah, the moral maze she was on.
I need something to write.
No, not this. No. Don't touch anything that belongs to me.
That?
Yeah, sure.
Tell me again.
Right, so the first chord you do is A. Then when I finger you, it's F sharp minor. Then it goes back to A. Then it goes to F sharp minor. I'm missing out the A7s because you're an idiot.
Yeah. And D.
Well, but you don't know when. Yeah, whatever. Just write it down. It's fine.
Is it A, F sharp, F sharp?
Yeah.
A, F sharp, and then D.
Whatever. Just play whatever you want. I don't care. It's just nice.
This is the sort of lack of precision that means that you never made it in the music industry.
One.
Hang on.
Two.
A.
Three. Four. I love you. I love you. Words scribbled down in a fit of passion. I can't believe I won't see you again, my friend. Goodbye. If you can forgive me for what I've done, then please do. I love you, I love you. I love you, I love you. That's repeated. The radio's talking. That's prophetic because I work in radio now. Oh, I know what this song is about. Stop. I know what this song is about.
Go on.
This is about Kurt Cobain committing suicide.
Oh, blimey.
Yeah. Because he wrote on the... This is it. Oh, this is great. Listen to this. Because it alludes to it in a bit. It alludes to it. Allusion is a thing that songwriters use. And on the suicide note, apparently it said, I love you, I love you. So this is actually about Kurt Cobain killing himself. So let's start again. So imagine, now you're not laughing now. Now imagine it's Kurt Cobain, okay? And he's got the shotgun, and he's probably had some... He's got the shotgun loaded up, or maybe someone else did. He's got the whiskey, he's a bit high on heroin, and he's going to kill himself. So he writes this song. This is a song from Kurt Cobain. Please stop it. It's disrespectful to...
I thought we'd started.
No, it's disrespectful to what's her name? Frances Bean. 3, 4. I love you. Stop. Please stop it. And do you know who I was listening to when I heard that Kurt Cobain had died? You won't guess, I'll tell you. Nick Abbott.
Oh.
So this song is inspired by Nick Abbott. Please.
Ready?
3, 4. I love you, I love you. Words scribbled down in a fit of passion. Makes sense now, doesn't it? I can't believe I won't see you again. My friend, goodbye. If you can forgive me for what I've done, I like that, it sounds like an ambulance, then please do. I love you, I love you. I love you, I love you. The radio's talking as I write this message. The news is... Some man shot himself. I think I've heard of him. His name rings a bell or two. Please carry on. Please believe me. I'm waiting on your call. I love you. I love you. And that's dedicated to Kurt Cobain and Nick Abbott, both of whom have ended their careers, shot their careers in the ass. And now you're thinking, oh, that was actually quite a good one.
Yeah, because of my musical arrangement.
You're an idiot. Stay there.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
The Late Night Alternative with Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
Here's a song that was a Beach Boys pastiche that I wrote when I was 15 years old. We're going back 30 years, and I know this because on the first page, I get 10 out of 10 for my German.
Oh.
My German homework, my German spelling. Sportgeschäft. Dorgoy. Fleischerei. Those are the shops. But the second one, that's kind of meant as a comedy one, so it doesn't... That doesn't work. Let's find another song. I'm really disappointed in... in the list... Sorry. Oh, here we go. Okay, this one's called... This one... I don't remember this one at all. This one's called Something Went Wrong. Are you still playing along? Listener, you could have called in and played along.
Oh, this is a good one.
I like it. This one's called Something Went Wrong. It starts in E. Which is an unusual key and chord to set a song in. And very unusual, actually. Again, it shows I'm quite innovative, actually. I thought these were going to be rubbish. And actually, it turns out they're great. Here we go. Something went wrong. Used to be we could never say goodbye without crying. Used to be we could never walk away without somehow dying. What's wrong?
I'm looking for all the chords. You just got an E there, and then it goes to a C.
It goes to C, then it goes to D. But those times have D gone, something went wrong. Simple, back to E. I always thought we'd be at least friends, but I got that wrong. You said our love would never end, but never's not so long. That is a great line. This is probably about Kerry, if I think about it now. That is a great line. You said our love would never end, but never's not so long. You say it will never end, but actually never, it's only quite a short time. It's clever. Now those times are gone, something went wrong. I don't want this bit is here. Now those times are gone, something went wrong, and time has gone, in brackets, hold for longer than previous. And then it goes, then it says full out, strumming, drums, etc. So I was, this is the thing, I wasn't just writing songs, I was arranging songs.
Orchestrating
them. I'm sorry? I'm an orchestrator. Whatever happened to you and me seems like some things are never meant to be.
Well, that's true.
But I've been back to yesterday, and there's one thing I've got to say. I need you. That is powerful. That's powerful stuff, man. That's powerful stuff. So many great songs in here. It's a shame. Most of them are about Kerry, actually.
That one looks like a good one. I saw the first line of the one on the back, Silent Tears.
The best tears are silent. Silent Tears roared down my... This one doesn't have a title.
Is it not an extension of Do You Remember?
No, Do You Remember is like an upbeat kind of... it is about Kerry. I remember that one. I remember the tune and everything to that.
Let's have that.
Nope. No. Need a guitar to really, you know...
I don't think it'd make that much difference.
Silent tears roared down my face as I'd wondered why I'd come back to this place. I've travelled so far to come back home. I wouldn't have two comebacks there. But if this is home, why do I feel so alone?
Yeah.
This is coming back to my house in the summer holidays at university.
Also, you hadn't travelled that far. Where were you?
It was only London to Slough. Here we go, look. I heard someone say that Caroline was sweet.
Oh, yeah.
And the times with her were good. But it seems that after all this time, I'm the one who misunderstood. This is actually great stuff.
Heavy stuff.
And now you can't laugh because you're thinking, shit, this is actually great.
Well, you're half right. The first bit.
I got the joke. You didn't need to hammer it home.
I thought I'd ram it home.
I got it. The shit bit, yeah? Did I get it? The shit bit?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I did get it then. Thank you. You can look at the sky. You can see the moon. But you have to see it's going to end soon.
Mm-hmm.
No matter how hard I fight. This is before the internet.
When we didn't know any better.
This is all written before the internet. And I think that you have to keep that in mind. No matter how hard I fight or try, I know my end is soon, and that's why I cry.
Oh, blimey.
I can hear two old men talking. This isn't written in my handwriting, so I think maybe Conan wrote these two lines. Telling me not to get above my head, but I can't be with you anymore. I'll have to dream instead. I think you've had enough for tonight.
No, I want another one.
No.
Go on, give us another one. Give us another one.
Okay, let's go in.
I'm into this now. I'm sort of picking up the vibe. Gosh, you put those ones inside folders.
These ones are semi-laminated. These are proper songs. The thing is, I'm getting a little bit self-conscious because I know Paul Ross is out in that studio, and I know that he's worked with Nirvana.
Yeah.
And I've done a tribute song to Nirvana.
Yeah.
And I just, you know, here it comes. Please, come in, Paul Ross. You worked with Nirvana, didn't you?
I was there when they did the second series of The Work.
Yeah.
We mistimed it badly, or the then producer did, and they had about 1:20. We played it again on The Late Show, and he started by saying, I just want it on the record, Courtney Love is the best so-and-so on the planet.
Oh, yeah, yes.
That was his. And then into Down Now.
I don't know if you heard, I wrote a song.
I have heard it, yeah.
He died.
Yep.
Do you think you're still getting over it, aren't you?
Do you think he would have liked that song that I wrote for him?
If I'm being absolutely honest,
called
no.
I Love You.
No.
Sorry?
No, he wouldn't have liked it. He'd have loved it.
There we go.
Thank you, Paul Ross.
Simon Calder.
Thank you, Paul Ross. Yeah, you see? That's it.
We can play him like a puppet, can't we, Kev?
It's called I Love You, I Love You. Maybe
we play him like Boo Boo the Fool.
I don't know if you've got, if you've still got Courtney Love's address, but I'd love to send it on to her. I'd love to make a little demo tape.
Sadly, I never had Courtney Love's address.
Okay.
I did see in a terrible film she made, I can't remember the title of it, with, I think, J-Lo was in it as well, and she was some kind of demented, psychopathic kidnap woman. What was it called?
Oh, that was great.
Trapped or something? No,
where she has sex with the boy next door.
Something weird like that.
That's a great film. Here's the thing. I love J-Lo movies. Yeah. My wife used to
watch it. Made in Manhattan.
It's a great film. Monster-in-Law with...
Jane Fonda.
Yeah.
But you've never seen Out of Sight, which is the best one.
Oh, Out of Sight's a masterpiece.
Which one's Out of Sight?
It's when...
Steven Soderbergh.
She wasn't really very well-known. George Clooney wasn't massively well-known. It's fantastic.
I'll watch it. Honestly, because my wife would watch these J-Lo films, and I got really into them. But, yeah, there's one where she's a victim of spousal abuse.
That's what it is, yeah.
And she leaves and gets, like, ninja skills and then goes back and murders him but doesn't leave any clues.
That's a manual for life, isn't it?
That's a great...
Women leave and come back as a ninja.
Yeah.
Make them pay.
Is that Made in Manhattan?
No, that's not Made in Manhattan.
No, you're not. On fire tonight, Flippy Kath.
No, it's not Made in
It's something
name.
Like Wanted or Trapped. Or it's one of those one word type.
The one I was thinking of is one where she's a sexy teacher and she has sex with the man next door, but then she goes into school at the beginning of turn and it turns out he's one of the pupils. He's just like a really big, muscular pupil.
Well, I've not seen that one.
And he's a bit stalkerish and he puts
loads... That's not from Pornhub.
It might be. But he then puts loads of pictures of her... he took pictures of her in her pants and he posts them all around the school... And she kills him. So
she's still Jenny from the Blocks. Or is that Courtney Love we're talking about?
She's the most... but anyway, if you could be in any help at all at getting that song to the Love Foundation, I would really appreciate it. Because I think it's actually very special. I think it will bring them a lot of comfort.
Late Night, Ian Lee on Talk Radio. We'll get you talking.